find some point of commonality between them and us and force it on them. Tell them that they are less than black, less than human. Because you see, if a white person walks up to them and says what we're saying, they will know that they're being sold out. So we want you, our little monkey puppets, to come swinging down from the trees, and you will be the ones who sell your people out and give the message to them. You will be the ones who deliver our poison of a diseased mind and a diseased spirit delivered in a candy coating. They will be unsuspecting. Remember the story of the axe and the trees. The axe handle was made of wood, and when the woodcutter came up on the trees to chop them down, the trees said, "Oh, don't worry, we can trust the axe. Look at the handle, he's one of us. We can trust him, he's one of our people." Never mind the man swinging him and the blade on the end of the handle. Never mind those. And that's what this article is. We are the trees, the mighty redwoods, the mighty oaks, the mighty cypress. And they have had this article probably dictated by whites in the white establishment, probably dictated by them, and told them that these are the talking points. And this is how you have to write this. And if we see that Ebony is more, quote, code speak, open-minded about homosexuality, that's the kind of thing that can encourage people to buy your publication. And they will bow at the altar. I want to say, so because the image of these two beautiful black men, you are referring to two men as beautiful. That is an insult. Well, I'm sorry, I guess except in his world, huh? So because the image of these two beautiful black men documenting a moment as familiar as black as a lecture from Cliff and Claire still causes a downpour of rage and thumb thuggery in the age of Obama, memoirs like Lewis's are necessary, news. Now, this guy needs a basic writing class, but he's trying to lecture all of us about ignorance, by the way. Just thought I'd throw that out there. A guy who has not yet mastered writing for a publication wants to lecture us about ignorance, but I guess this ridiculous amount of stupidity and ineptness and incompetence in writing, I guess this does qualify as great writing at Ebony Magazine of 2014. I guess this will get you a job at Ebony. I guess this is all you need. This is all it takes. Be gay. Now, by the way, one more thing here. Now, if you were against gay marriage and gay relationships, and if you threw in this many name callings and this many adjectives and this many negative adjectives in a story that you were writing against homosexuality, what would they call you? Because you got plenty of gays out there who slur traditional marriage, which is just really marriage, people. There's no such thing as gay marriage. But they have slurs against regular marriage. Has this guy ever stood up and said you shouldn't talk like that? But look how they talk. This is not trying to speak to two reasonable minds. He's telling you that if you do not feel the way he does, you are every name he can possibly call you. This is just nothing short of internet bullying. Published bullying. This is verbal assault. But if you talk like this about gays, he would be saying that it's bigotry. He'd be saying that you're terrible. He'd be quoting you word for word and saying, look at the hate, look at the venom. Look how much this guy, what is your name, Mr. Weiner? Alexander Hardy, Look how much he hates. Look how much venom is coming out of him. It is just gushing from his pores. It's just gushing out of him. He says, they matter because after seeing enough positive gay black imagery, the idea is that your cousins won't set fire to the rain inside your feelings whenever presented with imagery that doesn't align with their hyper-narrow vision of, quote, normal. Considering the shockwaves caused by athletes Michael Sam and Derek Gordon both coming out as gay, it's clear the world still isn't prepared for a regular black gay dude. Seeing Don Lemon stir the pot on CNN Nightly is one thing. Seeing Don Lemon embrace his partner and build a family is another. Just like Ellen DeGeneres danced her way into millions of frigid hearts, these dads and others like them deserve that same opportunity and humanity. So you see, he can't even make it through the story without letting you know what this is really about. Now he's already referenced Modern Family and now Ellen DeGeneres. He's letting you know straight out that he compares us to Eurocentrism. That white people are doing it and that is the justification for you as black people to do it too. He's letting you know who the masters that he serves are and who sent him here to bring this message and bring this story. You all need to spread tonight's broadcast with every single person that you know everywhere because nobody is giving you the insight and analysis into this that we are right now. Nobody is doing that. They're not going to say it like this. They might trim around the edges. They might hedge. They might curve. They might bob. They might weave. But they're not going to just come right out and say it like this. He just let you know who he's trying to please. He doesn't give a damn what black... I mean, by the way, now, black folk read this thing. Do you notice that he doesn't have anything smart and greasy and slimy to say to white people? He's not saying that the white media is not showing black gay fathers like that. He's not talking to them. He wants to talk to black folk. Kind of reminds you of some fraudulent people. That he's not talking to white supremacy. He comes to talk to black people. To do the bidding of white people. He steps in the middle of a group of black folk to tell you how super excellent and hyper groovy white people are. He is not talking about the white media and the fact that black folk don't have any. If you want more black folk in the media, why is not taking his effeminate ass over there to Time Magazine and CNN and ABC and telling them that you need to put more black gay males on TV and on radio? Why is he not going to the white people that he loves so much and demanding that they make more opportunities to black gay males? Why isn't he doing that? He wants to come to black folk who have no power. Okay, if every black person in America accepted it tomorrow, that's going to do what? But you notice he doesn't actually want that. He just wants black people to accept the gay behavior and the gay lifestyle. He wants you to accept that. He's not making any demands of his white masters and of the white corporate structure and of white society at all. He makes no demands of them. Everything he's got to say is to you. Wake up, people. Wake the hell up. He's letting you know who sent him. You don't give a message to the people who sent you. You give a message to the people who you were sent to talk to. And he was sent by white people to speak to black people about what white people want to see us doing. That is why everything he says is glowing about white people, glowing about Modern Family, and absolute venom about you and me. Talking to black people, he's got nothing but venom to give us. But to white folk, oh, he's got nothing to say to them. Nothing to say to them at all. This is the mind-bending that's going on. The article finished, thank God that was long. Ideal world, two dads battling black girls' curls in the morning with love and hair grease would be cute, not controversial. Ideally, it would lead to nostalgia rather than a debate over whether these happy black kids need a mom. They have one. Until that day arrives, this is news. So this guy right here, this is the flip side of the coin, all you bastard baby-making super sluts. Now you've got a gay male saying that they don't need a mother. They have a mother, but hey, who needs her? They have a mother, but he didn't say anything about her place in their lives. Kids need a mother in the home, is what you were told, you ignorant, brain-dead, barbarian savage. You need a mother in the home so that your children can see how a man and a woman interact with each other. Because these children, if these kids don't grow up gay, how are they going to know how to interact with a male who is not gay? Because they saw their father doing acts that I cannot describe from this microphone. They saw that, but they've never seen a male in the home interacting with a female as a mother. They've never seen that. So this is great grooming for a gay child. This is not good grooming for a heterosexual one. We already have enough confusion about gender roles. But you see, this is why they don't want to talk to people like me. They don't want to talk to people like me because we'll explain that you find sexual abuse in every case. We'll talk to them about the little boys who are sitting on the toilets now. We'll talk to them about the little boys who are sagging their pants and straightening their hair and want to wear barrettes. We'll talk about all those kind of things, but they don't want to discuss influence and where it came from because it's indisputable. The mind bending is well underway. They are coming for our souls. Not coming. They are trying to steal our souls from us, people. They're already here, and they are trying to yank our souls out of our chests like our hearts out of our rib cages. Professor Truth, as a student of history, did you ever think that Ebony Magazine would become this diseased pustule, this reeking, dying carcass that is currently becoming now?
The answer, of course, is yes and no. If you look at what Ebony Magazine was back when we stood up and spoke up, then no. But of course, as time has gone on, let's just be honest, too many black people, especially those who claim to work in media, are sellouts. Or those who haven't sold out, it's just because their price hasn't been met yet, or they haven't gotten anyone to make them an offer. And that's what's going on. So you got the media assault taking place. Black people put it down against Proposition 8, and now you got the white media sending out their hand-picked puppets to sit there and say, we're going to attack you, we're going to defame you, we're going to shame you into silence if we can. We know we can't get you on board, but we're going to redefine black. So there's a black guy in the NBA who's gay and a black NFL player who's gay, and they're just pushing it like so much propaganda. And you better be careful about some of these people who you're sitting here taking your cues from, some of these so-called bright new voices. You're sitting here saying, well, I'm not going to read Jet and Ebony, yeah, but when you look at new media, who do you see? I mean, just as a textbook example, you got that woman, Wanuri Ahiu, who made that short film, Poomsy, and the festival circuit and the film festivals are just all a Twitter about her. She's from Kenya, and you ask her, what's your next project going to be? And she says she wants her next project to be about two Kenyan girls who are lesbians. Now, I'm not going to tell you the title of the project because I don't want you even looking it up. But the point is, these are your so-called new voices sounding just like the old ones. And when you see what Jet and Ebony are doing, all the gay advocacy, ain't a doggone one of them sitting here talking about the fact that black boys are being wholesale run out of schools. They ain't got nothing to say about that. No outrage over that. Oh, but there's a picture of two homosexuals, and all of a sudden, they're so concerned. Sounds kind of like the NAACP, doesn't it? All these civil rights fossils who have sold out and sold you out, they're trying to sit here and weave permanent dysfunction into what is left of the tattered remains of black America. That's what's going on here. The propaganda's flying high, and they're using the media to push it. They're using the media to promote it. So those of you out there who don't get it, you need to understand that having some form of media power, media control, it matters. Because if intelligent black society is not going to speak up for itself, then what we're going to get is going to be the fakers, frauds, and people who are telling us, don't worry about power. We need to worry about gay marriage. Yeah, this is why you've got all these people who are sitting here getting thrown out on the streets, black people losing their jobs, but our top priority needs to be whether or not homosexuals are going to be considered normal. I mean, what a joke. Somebody should have told the author of this piece that words mean things. When you sit there and say that gay is normal, then the question is, what is heterosexuality? What is a man and a woman? Is that normal? Because if gay is the new normal, then that means heterosexuality is not normal. See how it worked? See how that little bit of verbal judo goes down like that? Words mean things. In the piece, he's sitting here attacking religious people, people who are just simply going to church and reading a Bible. They are scripture slingers. Now, if I sat here and said that homosexuals were a bunch of raw need or a bunch of bloody need bone smokers, problem with that. They wouldn't print that. Why? Because that's considered defamatory. That's considered incendiary. Okay, but this guy can sit here and throw every word in the book and all sorts of four-letter words every chance he gets, and that's just cool. And Ebony Magazine is sitting here, Pet Magazine sitting here, leading the charge. I got news for black people. You are not going to be able to sit on the sidelines. Too many of you, while you're basically sitting on the couch watching reruns of Love and Hip Hop or trying to become the best Call of Duty player imaginable, you're sitting here going, well, I ain't going to worry about them. I'm not going to go picking a fight. Let me tell you something. The fight has picked you. It's not a matter of whether or not you are for this. They've made up their minds that you will not be allowed to be silent. You are either going to come out and say that gay is the new normal, or you, my friend, are a homophobe. Now, the question is this. If we're at a point now where being homosexual is the new black, then where does that leave the rest of us? If you're not a gay black man, then what are you? This is what happens when you don't stand up and speak up for yourself. Other people have the ability to run the boards and just define you any way that they want. They are going to use media to define your place in the world, and your place in the world will be either gay or nothing. You thought it was harmless to say nothing while we have images of black men being all gay being promoted. The idea of black manhood coming under assault, and you thought it was okay to be silent. What does it matter? Now you're understanding that you will not be allowed to simply sit in the corner and go, okay, let the gays have their day. Let them throw up their hands and snap their fingers. Now they're going to look at you and say, hey, ain't you supposed to be snapping your fingers too? But I ain't like that. Oh, he's not normal. You're not going to be allowed to dodge out of this one. So what's it going to be? What's it going to be? Because you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to speak up. So is it going to be time for you to knuckle under? Or is it going to be time to speak up? And when you speak up, you got to do it every way you can. It's not going to be enough to give a couple of Twitter tweets. It ain't going to be enough to do a couple of postings. The reason that gay is carrying the day right now is because the homosexuals have a bankroll behind them. They have a media attack plan, and they are playing it. I mean, it's just so perverse that the guy would actually say that this is why dad's kissing matters. Intelligent black society, you better understand that what matters is the voice that you've got. Right now, the only voice that you've got is the blackchannel.net. If you do not back us, then you're backing something else and you will be forced to. You don't get a choice in this matter. You don't get to choose to abstain. You're not Switzerland. Jason Book has put it down. Mona Lachey puts it down. Professor Truth puts it down. Johnny Ace puts it down. Miss Step puts it down. The B1 Brigade puts it down. And what are you going to do when the forces of antagonism decide that the bastion of intelligent black society, the super fortress, that is going to push back and say, nope, we're not going to sit here and decide to get behind the bloody-kneed bone smokers. I expect them to laugh. You better not call me a homophobe. If I'm supposed to accept being called a scripture slinger, you better not say anything about what I say about you then. It's just words. But intelligent black society will not be ignored when people look and say, oh, we got this hardcore group of scripture-slinging bigots, a bunch of people who don't believe that gay is the new normal. They're not willing to endorse it. What's going to happen is we're going to come under fire. I told you in my last videos that what builds a culture is the value system of the people in it. What do the people value? Do you value the family as the basic building block of an ordered and structured society? If so, then that family only has one definition. It can't just be whatever you want it to be, however you need it to be at the moment. That's not a family. That's just situational ethics. Two guys getting together and playing house with a little girl who didn't ask to be part of their, you know, gay love sandwich. That's not a family. And a bastard baby maker who couldn't keep her legs or her mouth closed at the club with her brood of bastards, that's not a family either. A family cannot be whatever you want it to be. It is one thing and one thing only. When we start letting people redefine things, we lose the... If a man is no longer a male human being who is governed by logic, reason, discipline, and strength, if instead he is a male person who is defined by what he does in the bedroom, then we have lost the definition of manhood. Anybody can be a man at that point. Your freaking mother can claim to be a man. Happy Father's Day. This is the reason why black media control matters. If we had a true media infrastructure and not a couple of raggedy outlets who were wholly owned subsidiaries of white power, we would actually have a voice that would tell this guy to sit down and shut up. And not only would the black people who stood up for themselves against Proposition 8, not only would they not be under attack, but what would happen is we would see a gathering of more of them. Because that's what happens when you have a media infrastructure. You can promote the things that are important to you. Don't have one, you're not promoting anything. That's the reason why so many black people have become apathetic, and what's happened is they become spectators. You sit there and you watch as the media gives you reasons why Trayvon Martin should have been gunned down. And instead of you saying, you know what, we're going to go after advertisers, or better yet, we're going to start our own advertisers so we can have our own media infrastructure, instead what you're reduced to is you're reduced to having your lip poked out saying, that's no fair. And then you go looking not to take action that would empower you, but instead you're apathetic, so you go looking and saying, well, is there somebody else out there who'll say something different? I want to be entertained, and CNN saying stuff I don't like, so somebody entertain me. And next thing you know, you wash up on the shores of the intelligent black society. Well, we're not looking to entertain you here either. Yeah, we got a problem with what CNN does, but we understand that the answer is not going to be looking for somebody who is merely going to entertain us by telling us what we want to hear. We're not looking to argue with the forces of antagonism against us. We're looking to take them down. And that ain't going to be entertaining. It's not going to be fun. It's going to be, well, as a pathetic excuse for a defense secretary once said, it's going to be a long, hard slog. And I'm down for that.
Go ahead and see if we can take a couple of phone calls here now. Caller from 832... 5 of the Black Channel.
I don't care what I do.
Oh, really?
Now I'm starting. Next week I start two more classes together.
Sounds like you need to study how to use a phone, dummy. Last try, caller from 832. Maybe I should give your number to people so that they can check and see if you need medical assistance.
Hello?
Yes, why are you playing on my phone?
I didn't know I was...
You would have known if you weren't listening to people tell you about their studying. You would have known that.
That was an accident, Mr. Black.
That's not an accident.
But definitely listen to the topic.
I don't give a damn what you're listening to. You're playing on my phone.
No, I was just listening
obviously
to the program.
Obviously, you weren't listening very well because when I actually opened up a line and let you on, you didn't even know that you were on. So you weren't listening very well. Now, I could hear what was going on your side, but you obviously didn't hear us.
Yeah, that was,
What is your name and where you're calling from?
This is Olmeckian descendant.
Olmeckian? I expect a lot better than that, brother.
I know. I have no excuses. Just listen to your topic, and of course, you know the gay agenda has been pushing on our people for a while, and now it's in overdrive. So you know, it's just perverse and the filth that we've got to deal with, and you know, try to raise our young black men and women to not go down that path, really, because we know it's just another form of genocide. And like I said, that article. It's been pervasive, and that mindset is pervasive, of course, given to us, or not us, but people in our community to push on us. So we've got a lot of traitors, you know, trying to make us conform to this homosexualized agenda. But you don't see them really pushing that agenda in the white society. You don't see white actors and musicians wearing skirts or kissing each other, same-sex videos, really, you know, or that one sick video with the gay dude and the young boys dancing and all that. So it's just, you know, it's just getting sick out here.
Well, you don't understand how long these people have been waiting to do this. They have been waiting a very long time to finally come out against black society. And I mean that the way I said it. They've been waiting a very long time to come out against us because they don't care about blackness. When was the last time that you saw Ebony Magazine put something, have an article, a photograph, talking about the prison industrial complex? When was the last
Never.
Time that you saw Ebony putting up pictures like that? Or when was the last time you heard an Ebony writer? When was the last time any of you heard a writer from Ebony, George Zimmerman, and white supremacy in the police departments around this country with the same venom and rancor, name-calling, and straightforward profane language that they just used to refer to anybody who doesn't believe in anal sex? When was the last time you heard Ebony talk like that about Confederate flag and white supremacy? When was the last time you heard them talk about white supremacy at all and put up an article where they just go off the rails like you just heard that person do against black folk? When was the last time you heard that?
Never, to my knowledge.
It sounds like they don't really give a damn about black empowerment. They've got nothing to say constructive where people are concerned. So what you were saying is absolutely right. They've got nothing to say to us. They're nothing to say to us that we asked for. They don't have anything to say to white society about what they're doing wrong at all. But he's got every ounce of venom and hatred he can possibly dredge up to aim at black folk. Don't you know a black white supremacist when you hear one? Everybody
oh, yeah.
out there, don't you know when you are listening to a black person with the heart and the soul and the mind of a white supremacist? You can see it in everything he does. Now, here at the Black Channel, we speak against white supremacy. But we've moved to a point where we don't want to talk against white supremacy anymore. It's no longer about what we're going to say to you, white supremacy. It's about what we're going to do to you. But what this guy has done, that's an act of treason against black people. Ebony Magazine is tonight guilty of treason against black people because they have nothing to say against supremacy, nothing to say against police brutality, no pictures out there showing the dead body of Trayvon Martin and saying that this is what white supremacy and its effery does to black people. Nothing like that. Nothing saying that if you agree with George Zimmerman, you are a drip-lipping bigot. Lip-dripping bigot. Gotta be careful about the gays, though. Hearing that line, they might think I'm meaning something I don't. I'm not meaning like that. I mean, like, you know, like a dog growling. And anyway, he doesn't speak like that against them. He's not cursing at them. He's not talking about that with them. Why not? Why isn't he saying something about that? Why isn't their magazine giving George Zimmerman the I Two Dads treatment? Why aren't they doing that? What I'm telling you is that this is not just about hating white people. This is not just about hating black folk. This is about loving white supremacy. That white supremacy is off limits to that kind of criticism. And that is why I'm telling you, you're not going to hear this anywhere else. Black Enterprise magazine is not going to take Essence or Ebony or Life or Jet magazine to task like this. None of them are. They're not going to do anything. Why? Because they're all looking for a buyer. So they don't want to hear anymore what it is that black people want. They want to know what the white potential buyers want to hear. That's what they're looking for. That's what they're out to get. They have literally swept us to the side. But they want us to buy their magazine. Because understand something, it will not be a white customer base that buys their magazine. And they haven't figured out now why it is that a black customer base will not buy them. Let me tell you something, Ebony Magazine, Jet Magazine, while you're flaming homosexuals on staff who've been waiting decades to spit on black society because you think that there's something better than being black, let me tell you something. You'd sell a lot more copies of your magazine if you had people like Umar Johnson and Dr. Claude Anderson. You'd sell a lot more copies of your magazine if you had people like that on your magazine and in your magazine. You'd sell a lot more. Instead of trying to get a couple of guys from Instagram and to get a few more views based on a couple of gays from Instagram, you'd have done a lot better to call out Dr. Umar Johnson and talk to him. You'd have done a lot better to do that. That would have worked a lot better for you. You'd have done a lot better to call up Professor Black Truth. But you see, you're not going to do that. Because they are gauging their magazine as being the mouthpiece for white corporatism in the black community. If you all remember, in the early days of newspapers, that was how the white newspapers got stories out of the black community. The black community wouldn't talk to them. The Watts riots, black community wouldn't talk to you. You've already enslaved us and everything. Black folk would not talk to the white papers. They would not talk to white reporters. So the white reporters and the white TV stations and the white radio stations would, just like they did with the Negro Leagues, they would hire black reporters away from black newspapers and black radio stations. The white companies would hire black people from black radio stations and go send them into the hood and the ghetto during the riots. That was who they sent to speak to our people. And I'm telling you that the same pathology continues today. The same pathology continues today. They are using black faces to sell a white agenda because they think that that's going to insulate them. If we give our allegiance to an ideology, not to a person, but to an ideology and to a value system, as Professor Black Truth explained just yesterday, when you give your allegiance to that, then you're going to start making major inroads. But you see, they want to make sure that there's only a certain type of person that they let in. And that is why we as black people today, you better rally around the black channel. You better rally around Professor Truth. You better rally around what we're doing here. You have to, because we're all we got. You go take your values. I didn't say yourself or your story. Just go take your values to Ebony Magazine. Go try to sell to them black empowerment. They're not interested, and they're not listening, because the white men that they are hoping will buy their magazine ain't trying to hear that. And if Ebony were to come out now with a story about black economic empowerment, they would sit up here and be terrified walking into any potential buyer's meeting. And by the way, they are trying to buy her for themselves. They've turned on us. Like every elder generation before them in America, they have turned on the youth, turned on the children. They are now offering up their children as an offering to the pagan gods of white supremacy now. That's what you're witnessing right now in that photograph, in that article.
And that's what they're doing on every front. It seems like every black publication or organization has either been infiltrated or they've just become, like you said, the mouthpiece for white supremacy. And the only black people and black organization that I stand with, of course, is Black Channel, is the only organization that's really speaking up for intelligent black society and black empowerment, because that's never discussed really outside of a few individuals and a few organizations that are really stayed true to what our real core value and core needs are. And this agenda with homosexuality in the black community is just another form of eradication for our community. And if we don't get on the ball, you know what the outcome is going to be. Y'all talk about it all the time, and hopefully more people are supporting 7 a.m. It's crucial.
Have you all ever heard Ebony Magazine go on an absolute screed like that guy did, like Alexander Hardy did, against black women who say, I'll never date a black male? Have you ever heard a writer in Ebony go on a screed like that? Have you ever heard them go on a screed like that against a black male who said, I would never date a black woman? But all you have to do is just say, I'm not down with gays, with the gay lifestyle, and all of a sudden here they come with as much venom and rancor as possible. They've never spoken that way about black folk who said, I'm not good with black people dating black people. They've never talked that way about white supremacy. We as black folk need to understand what the hell is going on here. It's not a game, and it's not a joke. They are using your own people as the faces, the black faces of white supremacy, as Reverend Pinckney said. That's what they have lined up now. And this is why the Black Channel is so important. 7 a.m. and anything after that is so important. We don't have a voice, brother. Outside of this website, we don't have an organized one. I'm hoping that now that we've had the tremendous response to 7 a.m. that we've had, understand something. Major media outlets are aware of what we've done, okay? They're aware. They know. I want everybody out here tonight to understand, you don't raise as much as we did without a bunch of people taking notes. They're not saying anything because they want to know what's going to happen when it's nutcracking time. They want to know, when you get in front of a major corporate media mouthpiece, are we really going to stand for these things, or are we going to buckle? That's what they want to know. And that's why they're being quiet, because they don't know if we're really going to stand for this. They're not going to bring more eyeballs to us. You see, the great thing about the Black Channel is that it's not run or operated or spearheaded by a bunch of wild-eyed conspiracy theorists. You don't hear a bunch of cracker talk here. You hear a bunch of white devil talk. You don't hear a bunch of let's get some AKs and go out in the streets. We are speaking in the most dangerous language of all. We want control of the money. So it doesn't matter whether the person in the White House is black, white, green, or red. We will own and control them. Same thing for the governor. Same thing for the mayor. Same thing for the states and even the state representatives. Doesn't matter who is there. We will control them because we will control the economy. They're not going to boost a bunch of black men talking like that. They want to hear us talking about being gay, doing the girl's hair. That's what they're going to boost. And that's why that dude's not talking about these things. Number one, he doesn't know anything about them. Number two, he knows that the white folks that they're hoping will keep him in a job. He's not going to sit up here and say that. Because what can a black man do with money other than challenge white folk with it and challenge the system? What else can he do with it? That's what they want to hear you talk about tricking it off. Because what else can you do with money if you're not tricking it off? There's only one thing you could be doing. And that's why it doesn't matter what black man it is, they want you to see him assing his money off. That's the example they want to put in front of you, that is the zenith, that's the pinnacle that a black male can look to aspire to, is tricking his money off. That's what they want you to think, because the only other thing you could do besides trick off your money is challenge them for power, wealth, and influence. That's the only thing you can do with it. And they don't ever want the day to come that the conversation shifts to that. That is what would infuriate them more than anything, the conversation transforming to that. So if people do not support what we're doing here, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? Who's talking like this? Is Melissa Harris-Perry, your son comes home talking about kissing on boys. Is Melissa Harris-Perry going to, what's she going to say? She's going to tell you that you should just accept that that's what you got. She's going to say, that's what you got. She's going to tell you to just go ahead and accept that. That's what she's going to do. Now, just so I can be aware, because I had some people asking there, I'm sorry we didn't post that before. The telephone number for those of you listening in is 646-787-1933. That's 646-787-1933. That's your personal access code to the only voice in black society for black people today. I think I'm going to start putting that up for everybody. Professor Black Truth, I think we're going to start on a new meme for that. TheBlackChannel.net, representing the black street.
Doggone right, because nobody else is doing it, and it's way past time. There's something I want to add here right quick. As far as this whole thing about the gay movement and black America, black people need to understand their history, because it's incompatible what black America needs with a gay normalcy. You can go all the way back to the civil rights movement. Dr. King's primary advisor, Bayard Rustin, who was just this quivering blob of nonsense, who wanted just a shameless apologist for white supremacy. This guy couldn't decide whether white supremacy was good or bad. And it was black clergy who had to tell the black preacher, Dr. King, you need to upgrade your inner circle. And Bayard Rustin got sent packing. But a lot of black people tend to forget that. So we have a very long history as black people of sitting here trying to have an agenda of building solid black families so we can have a solid black community, so we can have a solid black economy, and yet we got people who really aren't sure where they stand. Well, at least where we're concerned, they're not sure where they stand. We don't need a soft line. We need to take the hard line. We're not looking to be popular with everyone. I want everybody to write this down if you haven't. We don't need a big tent. The only thing a big tent is good for is a circus.
I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Well, I just want to say I hope everyone takes heed to what the Black Channel is discussing and understands that we have to, you know, give more support, and we got to really, you know, come out the wallet for this. This initiative, because we're at an extinction level event of what's going to occur. And I just commend you and Professor Black for everything that y'all do and everything that y'all stand for. And, you know, I stand behind y'all and with y'all, no matter what, no matter what we got to do. I'm trying to do what I can do and give 100%. Black first.
One more thing, Olmekian. For you and yes, everybody else out there, I want you all to understand one thing. By the way, there is no turning back now. Not for me, not for Professor Truth, not for you, not for anybody on this website. Don't you know they're watching us? Don't you know that Department of Homeland Security is watching? Always has been. Don't you know they're watching every single one of us? Don't you know that they're trying to figure out where you're at? Who you are, who you know? So for everybody who tells themselves that, well, it's fancy, I'll stick with it as much as I can, understand something. You're in it now. Everybody. You're all in it now. I have to keep reminding you all that when the FBI and Rudy Giuliani busted the mob in New York, John Gotti, don't you all know in that nightclub, the Sammy the Bullhead, don't you know that they took photographs and recorded every single person who walked into that place during daylight hours? Everybody, including the delivery people for Coca-Cola and 7-Up and whatever, they took pictures of everyone. Y'all know those boards they put up on the mafia and stuff, and they got their whiteboards with the photographs of who's the boss and who's the underboss and the capos and the street boss and so on and so forth. They did the same thing. They did that with the mafia in real life. Only had pictures of the delivery people, the flour people, the meat packers. They had everything. And on the Black Channel, it's no different. All of you are soldiers in this now, whether you wish to be or not. You're all in it. All of you. I've spoken to the Black Panthers on this broadcast, brother. Don't you know that they still tap them brothers to this day? You all didn't know that. Kathleen Cleaver, her phone will be tapped till the day she dies. And after that, her children, maybe even her grandchildren. Same thing for Brother Pinckney of the Something must have happened here. It may have dropped me for just a second there, but understand something.
Oh yeah.
They're not going to go away, and they're not going to back down. Not now, not ever. They're already after you, already on the trail. They're already doing their thing. Now the only question is, are you going to take them head on, or are you going to try to find some place to hide out at? But it's already a fight, whether you want it or not. The only question now is, are you going to win it?
Yeah, we go head up. That's what we do. The alternative is death. So it doesn't really matter, in my opinion. That's the alternative. They're not going to give us any quarter. They're not going to let up. They're going to keep the cooning and the buffooning 24/7. And what y'all doing here and what we out here in Black Intelligent Land, we have to keep the fight. We got to be troopers, and that's what we're going to do, and that's what I'm going to do, and I know many others are too. It's what we're born to do. We're Black men. We stand up. We don't sit down. We have to be taken down. I won't accept anything else.
And that's the kind of talk that worries them. Thank you very much for calling in. Please do give us a call again. So go ahead and see if we can take another caller on the line right now. Caller from 773, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hi, Jason. This is Vernon from Chicago. And actually, I wanted to ask, I know you've been...
Hold on a second. What was that name again?
Vernon.
Vernon, okay, because it broke on you when you said that. What's on your mind, brother?
Oh, yes. Actually, I've recently started listening to your broadcast, and I know you've mentioned about you've talked about the Dre's Beach thing, and then I was just wondering, I wasn't sure if Dre actually owned the Beach thing outright, because I just thought it was just a deal that he had on to the side, so that's why I was just kind of on the fence that, okay, if he would have sold it out and he didn't really outright own it anyway, that it would be profitable for him. I just wasn't sure about it.
Well, I mean, he's never owned it in total anyway. We all suspect that Jimmy Iovine owns more of it than Dre does. We can't 100% confirm it because, of course, you can't look at anybody's contract to see what their deal actually was. But why has Dre been dragging Jimmy Iovine around with him now for 22 years? Why?
Yeah, you know, I've been asking that same thing, too. It's like, why is he always with him? Like, didn't he accumulate enough money from being...
Like the sidekick. Like
right.
Jimmy Iovine's sidekick. I mean, you went from being Jerry Heller's boy to being Jimmy Iovine's boy.
At least
with Russell Simmons, at least he got rid of Rick Rubin at some point. Rick Rubin ain't just still sitting there overlording. But with Dre, he is showing you that he does not actually have confidence in himself to be able to make any type of deal unless there is a white person, you know, unless he's being wingman by a white person. But he's showing you that he doesn't feel comfortable making any type of deal. He wants to sign on to something that a white person has negotiated. He doesn't believe he can actually do it on his own.
Oh, okay. The reason why I was asking that, because I don't know if it was some of those deals like sort of like how an artist, how they say that, okay, they have their own labels. Like, for instance, where Rick Ross have MMG and Ludacris has Disturbing the Peace, it's more of an imprint sort of deal rather than just an outright ownership.
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between a record label and a record company.
Right.
Anybody can be a record label. Hell, you and me can be a record label in 5 minutes from now. Anybody can be a record label. It's another thing to be a record company that can distribute and promote, which is what a record music company is supposed to do for you, produce, distribute, and promote. The whole big world of difference between those two things.
Go ahead.
This is why I was making the distinction to everybody before that it is a lie. Speaking of black media, it is a lie to make up this fiction that at any time there was going to be a, quote, black distributorship with Irv Gotti and Suge Knight and so on. That was never going to happen, people. Why? Because it doesn't cost $100 million to start a music company. It doesn't. Dre right now just signed a deal for $1 billion. People, it doesn't cost $1 billion to start your own music company. It doesn't. Okay. At this point, with Dre having as much equipment as he does, he's got a damn studio at his house. He's got all of the top connections in the industry. He doesn't need $100 million. Why does he need $1 billion? He's got $1 billion, and you're still telling me that they can't start their own, quote, distributorship. And by the way, music is all digital now. So The old lie that you need CDs and a music store. Who the hell goes to a music store anymore?
Right, because a lot of them, like Coconuts and FYE, have been closed down, especially from where I'm at.
I mean, like Sam Goody and stuff. I'm just saying, who goes to a music store talking about I'm going to get the new, you know, Jay-Z album? Who does that? Everybody orders it online, even if it's the CD, for the ones that still make CDs. They order it online, or they download it digitally. What idiot would go off to a record store today? Nobody's doing that. It's all digital. So what that means is that it's a level playing field now. I can make a song, You can make a song. They can download it. We can have it downloaded. Everybody's on the same level. This is why 7 a.m. scares them, because I can make a movie and I can distribute it myself. That's why it scares them. So what does this tell you? What this tells you is that these dudes have never challenged the system because it was not their goal to challenge them. What they wanted to do was what Jay-Z did and what Dre did. They wanted to become powerful enough that they could finally get that pat on the head that they've been waiting their whole lives for, and to finally sit at the table with the white men that they had been idolizing for so many years. They have been waiting to say, "I made it." And you can't say, "I made it," if you knock these guys up from the table. That's not going to happen if you get rid of them. You have to keep them there so you can say, "I made it." And once they got that, brother, they stopped. Jay-Z, show me who Jay-Z is challenging for power today. Show me.
Nobody. I really don't see anybody.
Because there isn't.
Yeah. Yeah, it's because, and I'm sure part of it, well, at least with that, may have been the whole, because for what I don't know, like, how true it is, even with Jay-Z's case, he might have been, like, one of the first people who signed one of those 360 deals. So, you know, it's just like he really doesn't have much control of anything. And it's sad that even in, Dr. Dre, and it's sad that even Snoop Dogg at least had some sort of businesses, because when he was signed to No Limit, he learned a lot from Master P. So, that's why I just can't understand, like, how are you going to get $1 billion, and then the first thing you spend it on is, a $40 million mansion?
Yeah, you already had one overly expensive house, and now you bought another one. For what? For what? Dre's kids are what, grown by now? Damn near grown.
I'm sure.
And you are buying another house, a bigger one. Why? He is telling you with his actions why he's doing it. He's doing it because he wants to say that, yeah, this used to be Tom Brady's house. Ooh, you got Tom Brady's old house. Did it come with Tom Brady's used drawers too?
Wow.
Because that would mean that you had the same drawers that was sleeping with his wife. Ooh. You got the same drawers that won a Super Bowl. Yay. But I'm saying, if you are going to subscribe that type of logic, if you want Tom Brady's used house because that's bragging rights, then why come his drawers and his bed sheets and his napkins are not also bragging rights? Why are you sleeping with just the house? Why does it stop there? Why? I just want you all to start thinking logically about this. It makes what you all forget is that these folk are people just like the rest of us.
Right. But it's just like his mentality now. It reminds me of like people that's in my neighborhood now. But it's just that he just happened to have his first billion, which I don't even know if he even has a full billion. These are especially according to Forbes magazine. So,
okay, first of all, he's not going to get $1 billion. Okay, and that's the first thing.
Right.
He's not going to do that. That was never in the offing. But here's my thing. Okay, at this point right now, do you know that Drake could take that money and do whatever he wants to with it? He could start a Facebook. He could start an iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
He could start a YouTube. What I'm telling you is that stop lying to yourselves and telling yourselves that these black men were going to do all these great, wonderful things that they were never going to do. There was, I know about the damn videos. Stop jibing yourselves. These guys were never going to do that. Do you all have any idea how much money Death Row Records made? As you all saw in that documentary, Time Warner bought Interscope for $400 million. They were paying that for Death Row.
Because
that's all the Interscope was. So you then paid $500 million for Death Row. I mean, that was all Interscope really was Death Row. Kind of makes you think why Suge Knight needed Interscope more. Hmm. And now Jimmy Iovine is like herpes. You can't get rid of him.
Right.
So
yeah,
they paid much money for it. Suge Knight had money before now. How much money did you think you needed, Suge? You didn't need billions of dollars. You didn't need hundreds of millions. Then why didn't he just go ahead and do it? He didn't do it because he was never actually trying to. You all heard a rumor. You all heard an old wives' tale. But that was never going to happen. Now you got black men who got even more money. Kanye West, Jay-Z, P. Diddy. And none of them are trying to do it either. Mm-hmm. It has never, just like Ebony Magazine, it has never been about defeating the system. It has always been about carving out a niche and carving out a place for yourself inside the system.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why Dre, Jay-Z, P. Diddy, all the rest of them dudes all have a history of doing what? Selling out everybody who was with them. With the exception of the white folk. Now, they don't sell the white people with them out. All the black folk with them. Bad Boy Records, Rockefeller, we can go down the list. Okay, I know there's going to be some painful memories for some people. But can we just...
I remember.
Is that not what happened? You look at Rockefeller Records and you tell me who's standing. You take a look at Bad Boy Records, the guy who started it is still okay. What about the folk who were with him? Cash Money Records. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that. Okay, well, I said it, I guess. Take a look at take a look at who's still there today. How many folk that Birdman started out with are still there today? Mm-hmm. Same thing with Rockefeller, same thing with a Bad Boy. We can go down the list.
Oof, I don't know. But actually, when you were just talking about Bad Boy Records, I remember even just maybe a few years ago, it was one of the Bad Boy insiders, Mike Curry. He put out a book about how P. Diddy was even screwing Biggie with his albums, that he had to sell bootleg copies out of his trunk just to get that mill.
I have to remind people about characters like Swizz Beatz. I was talking to somebody the other day because they went to Celebrity Net Worth, I think it is, .com, and was looking up Swizz Beatz Net Worth. First of all, that website grossly overstates what black stars in particular are worth. Let's just say that before we get started on anything else. But the other side of this is that, do you all understand that these guys don't make very much money to begin with? They make their money by trying to convince their fans that they make a lot of money. In reality, that is one thing that Damon did say correctly. In reality, all these guys are well-paid employees, but they don't own or control anything. And you cannot say that you are truly wealthy if you don't own or control anything. You are just a well-paid employee. You can be stopped at any time. You see, when you get to that Donald Sterling level where nobody talks to you, but your word is the law, nobody talks to you and nobody sees you, but your word is the law. LeBron James can't do that. Very nice about his little agent business. He can't do that. If he doesn't go out there and play, he starts losing clients. He is a well-paid employee, and his notoriety is tied to his ability to play. Let's see what happens when he's not playing. And we as black people are into that. Swizz Beatz is going to biz school at Harvard, I think it is. If he's got so much money and done so well, if he's got so much money and done so well in the music business, why is he going to Harvard? Why? Why is he going back to school like a college student? No, he is a college student. Why is he going back to school? You just married Alicia Keys. You got the bastard baby cheating on the wife with the mistress action going on. Why is he going back to school? I'm telling y'all because he doesn't have much money. He's got a whole bunch of cars, if you all go look into it. Got a whole bunch of cars. Yeah, he did that. He doesn't have much money. He has made a name for himself by convincing all of you that he's got a bunch of money. But when you consider something here, the math don't work. They were trying to argue me down about it until I told them, okay, has he produced an album for himself? Yeah, he produced his own album. I said, go look up how many copies he sold. 59,000 copies. Which is fine if you're Chief Keef or Kendrick Lamar starting out. That's great if you're just starting out in the business. But if you are supposed to be some top-ranked producer and you make an album for yourself and you only sell 50, 60,000 copies, that is vomiting all over yourself. That is beyond humiliating. That's beyond mortifying. Now, case in point, if you have a situation where he's produced a song for, I don't know, I'll pull a name out of the top of the air, Beyonce! And I don't know what song he produced, like Get Me Body or whatever the hell it is. He produced some song for her. If she has, you have to understand, he's just a producer on that song. If she has 10 songs on an album and he is a producer, then he could be getting as little as 2%. Do you understand that? You got 10 songs on an album, he's only going to get a fraction of the sale of that one song. He's not getting a piece of the whole album. He gets a fraction of the sale of that one song. Now, they may make a derivative for it and sort of say, okay, we sell this many albums, we're cutting you in for this much of the action. But understand, he's not going to be in for 10%, which would be all one song. He's not going to be in. He has 10 songs on the album. He's not in for 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So you're already making an assumption. If she makes $100 million, Swiss ain't in for $10 million. After they get done with their Hollywood math, he will be lucky if he's in for 1%. He'll be lucky.
Wow.
Go check the math out for yourself for what a producer gets for one song. Because remember, there's going to be more than one producer on the song. So he's going to have to split that with Beyonce, who performed it, and the writer, both, and the other producers, and the record company. Everybody's got to split that song up. So how much is he going to be left with when that song is done being divided? You all are just assuming these guys are making all this damn money.
Mm-hmm. Rappers, yeah, it's crazy.
Rappers make money on concerts and merchandising. And now with the 360 deals, they don't get all the money from that anymore either, by the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and it's funny too, because I usually think that the producers are the ones that make more money than the artists. Somehow, I don't know why. But I'm just glad that you got that one cleared up for me, because people have been telling me a lot that a lot of producers, you know, since they produce a certain amount of songs, you know, they're getting more of their paper. I don't know. But now that you brought that up, like, wouldn't it be more money if, let's say, if Swiss Beatz would have executive produced the album?
No, because the record company is going to decide what you get, because they are the ones who front the money, pay for the studio time to allow you to produce the song.
Oh, okay.
So the record company actually are the ones who make all those decisions. Now, maybe if you get to the level of a Beyonce, a Dre, a Jay-Z, a Kanye, where you're practically making the albums yourself, then you will get to decide on producers. But when you walk into Arista, on day one, Kendrick Lamar is not choosing his producers. I want to work with Dre. Well, that's only going to happen if Dre wants to work with you and if the record company is willing to pay for that. Because producers get points on an album. And a guy like Dre is going to get top dollar and he's going to get paid up front for producing these songs. So you got to pay for the studio time just to get him to do it in the first place. Then he's going to get points after the fact. Swiss Beatz might have got something up front, but what he gets after the fact is not going to be the same cut Dre is going to get.
Hmm.
You're not going to get what Dre gets, Swiss. And now at this point, after two flop albums of your own, brother, don't you know what these people are like? Don't you know how many young up-and-coming music producers there are every day? So game and tremendous in order to keep demanding stuff. Swiss Beatz has not been able to demand nothing in years. Let's just be honest, y'all. Come on, let's just be straight about that. You're not going to be able to demand anything. He doesn't have the ability to do that. And he's just one among many who can't do that. They're just one among many. So what they do is they fool all of y'all into thinking that they are major movers of wealth, when in reality they are well-paid employees. And the record company fronts everything. They front everything. And they want to front everything because you are contractually obligated once they start spending money. Once you let them pay for that studio time, they're in your pockets. Once you let them pay for it. Because now you have to sign a deal that says how you are going to repay that studio time. And that's where they get you. They get you because now you're going to have to repay it plus. In exchange for us fronting you for the studio time, you are going to give us X percentage of sales. And that's how they get them every time. That's why they don't want to see you walking in with your own engineers or whatever. They're not going to have that because they know what you're doing. And most of them guys go for that, but he didn't have a choice in that. The record company dictates everything because these black men have not built an infrastructure for themselves. I saw the video that people are talking about in the recording. People are talking about with Damon Dash. That's very nice to hear all that, Damon. Did you all notice what Damon Dash is not talking about? Damon Dash wants to talk about the bone that he's got to pick with Steve Stout and other individuals at the record company and Keith Lior Cohen. He wants to talk about bones he wants to pick with them. Did you all notice that Damon Dash didn't explain? He's talking about, I'm self-built, I'm self-made, I own this. You notice that Damon Dash never told you all how you can do it yourselves? Oh, I'm supposed to say that, am I? I'm supposed to pretend that I didn't know that. Damon Dash does not talk to all of you about how he did it himself. Did you notice that? He doesn't talk to you all about how you can do your own recording and distribution and promotion. You notice he never – it would take 5 minutes for you to explain that, Dame. Why don't you go ahead and explain it to him? He's not explaining it to you because he doesn't actually know. Or if he does actually know, he does not want more competition. You all need to understand what these fellows are doing. All these dudes were in the record business back when it was – when they were using tape. And now everything is digital, and these guys are giving you no more information than their white masks. Can't you see that they're all playing for the same team? It's like the mafia. It's like the mafia. The mafia is not going to get the drug dealers in your neighborhood. The mafia just wants to be in charge of supplying the drug dealers in your neighborhood. You want the drug dealers gone. The mafia wants the drug dealers to get their drugs from them. From the Gambinos instead of from the Bananos. Damon Dash is the Bananos. Lior Cohen is the Gambinos. And Dame Dash just wants you all to buy your dope from him and not from Lior Cohen. At no time is he explaining to you how you can challenge Lior Cohen. Even though he has the information. Even though he knows it. He won't tell you how to do it. He won't even give you any hints. He won't tell you all how you can get played on the radio station. He won't explain that to you. But you all are acting as if he's giving you some great knowledge because he's talking trash about Lior Cohen. Damn Lior Cohen. Tell me what you're going to do for me. What are we going to do for this? Give me some knowledge that Lior Cohen would not want me to have about how I can get into the business. He won't tell you. They're both playing for the same team. I'll let you have the last word.
Actually, I finally get a chance to call your broadcast, and I'm actually one of your contributors to 7 a.m. I also did the same for Hidden Colors as well, and I can't wait for the documentary to come out.
Well, thank you very much for checking with us, and do give us a call again. Go ahead and take another phone call here. Caller from 702, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Oh, this is from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Sounds like you're doing sit-ups.
Drinking some water.
Oh, I thought you were doing sit-ups there for a moment. I was about to say, he's working out before he calls me. Now he must want to talk for a while.
I hear I'm muted and I'm picking a big gulp of water, so I'm like, okay.
Don't choke. What's on your mind?
Not too much. I was listening when you were talking about that Ebony article, and just right before I got on the phone, that was a great conversation that you guys were talking about with the music industry and dealing with some of the executives and things like that. I just wanted to make a quick point on that. I have a friend that his cousin does grunge rock out of Seattle, never been signed, has his own studio, piece built there. I think it might have ran in like $150,000 after he pieced everything out. Goes on tour, does all these different little venues, does like, we used to have a theater here called the Huntress Theater. He used to do that one. And dude's a millionaire. Been a millionaire. I mean, he's been doing this for about 20 years. He could probably do it until he's an old man, and I don't know why. And I don't know why people in hip-hop can't do the same thing, because technically that's what Sir Mix-a-Lot's doing. But it seems like people in hip-hop, they don't want to make a living and have a life, because, I mean, his record company keeps growing. He's signing other groups out there in Seattle, and all it takes is for one of them to make it big, for him and his company to grow into something, you know, humongous. That's how all the record companies started. And these dudes, they're not selling their record companies. They're not giving up their masters and none of it. They're not dealing. It's a lot of these guys out there like that, and they're not giving up nothing. And then when they and you hear about them when they finally make it to the big top, and you're like, where did this company come from? You know, how's Metallica doing their own, you know, doing their own music right now? And they stepped away from the studios and, you know, fell on their face, but didn't have to come back, but they tried. It's weird because it seems like we're not even trying.
Well, no, everybody wants to stand next to Lior Cohen. Black folk are so addicted to damn drama. And instead of getting something that we own and control, leaving drama behind, everybody wants to go fight with Tommy Mottola and Lior Cohen and Steve Stout. That's what they want to do. They want to do that. Instead of just getting something that you own and control and saying, damn that, the Rolling Stones aren't fighting with record labels. Paul McCartney's not fighting with record companies. Metallica's not fighting with record companies. Black folk are out chasing Lamborghinis they can never get and Maseratis that don't exist. Because you saw some white corporate mouthpiece coming to you and telling you that. That's what happens when you listen to apparatchiks. Look it up. But in any case, that's what happens when you listen to people who are agents of somebody else. They don't tell you how to get your own. They tell you how to do it the way they want you to, which is convoluted. And once they become part of the machine, they start talking to you the way the machine does. You all have noticed I made my own documentary, but I explained to you all about the equipment I used. I've told you all about cameras. I've made whole videos talking about it. Why is it Damon Dash doesn't do the same thing I did? I did it. Why doesn't he do it? Nobody else out there goes in debt with y'all. It's a bunch of folk. They got blog talk, radio programs, some of them. But they don't tell you how to make an album like they did. Why is it they don't tell you that? And I want you all to start analyzing that for yourselves so that you stop giving respect to people who are not worthy of your adoration. Somebody who says, let's replace the white slave master with a black one, he's not doing you any favors. I don't want you to be a slave to Lior Cohen. Oh, great, I'm glad. I hate the Cohen plantation. I want you to be a slave to Damon Dash. Wait a minute. I don't like that. Congratulations on getting off that Lior Cohen plantation. Now you can toil on mine. That's what makes us different here. But I need all of you to lose your taste for advocating for people who are not actually helping you. Them guys are not helping y'all. They're not helping you. They're not doing anything to improve your situation. They won't even talk to you. They'll talk to each other, but they won't talk to you. Why are they not doing a video explaining how these young... I want to give something back to the community. I want to give back. I want to get something back, and then they come to your damn block with a bunch of damn turkeys at Thanksgiving. Don't you think that giving back to the community would be explaining how you can master your own recording? Wouldn't giving back to the community, instead of talking about what you spent on the block in Harlem, Damon, that nobody can verify, by the way, you're patting yourself on the back for accomplishments that nobody can validate. Instead of talking about that, why doesn't he talk about, I put up a YouTube video. Since he likes putting up videos so much and doing 3-hour interviews, why doesn't he do an interview where he explains how these young teenagers can do their own recording. Explain to them the brand and the type of microphones that you use and the recording equipment that you would use for that. Why don't you explain that to them, Damon? That would be giving back to the people. That would be giving back to the neighborhood. Why don't you do that, Damon? It wouldn't take you 5 minutes to explain the microphone you use and the type of digital recorder you use. It would take you 2 minutes to explain all that. Why doesn't he do that, Devontae? You all have had me do it.
I've done it yourself. He wants slaves so he can give them slave wages and he can make all the money. Only problem with that, I mean, if he was smart, cause a lot of these guys, when they go talk to some of these record companies just to get their stuff distributed, it's a partnership. They're like, nah, I don't want that. Can't buy me a car. Can't buy me a house. I already got it. And that's what I understand. Grunge music, they don't want too much anyways. But rock music and all that stuff, they went through that with the glam rock and all that stuff, and they learned. They learned real quick. Oh, this glam rock ain't working. They're giving us all this crap, but we ain't making no money. Now they come and they say, okay, soon as I make it big, I want a partnership. This is mine. Maybe you might get me on that first record. You're not getting me on the second one. And Dame Dash, if he was smart, he would have came out like, hey, I'm going to show you guys what to do, and then I'm going to build off something like Amway. Look, if you don't got the money, I got the funds. And I could bring you along, and you could be a partner. It sounds like, I mean, people think Amway is a pyramid scheme, but it's not. It's not like one of those, you know, inky pyramid schemes. It's like, look, you sell this, you get this. You know, I'm at the top right now because I'm providing all the funds and I'm providing all the proceeds and I'm giving all the information. So I'm going to get my cut. I ain't got to worry about that. I ain't trying to take every nickel.
It makes it difficult for me a little bit because while I don't like what Damon Dash is doing, the problem is the people that I'm trying to talk to about this are not taking him to task. The people who he's screwing over are not taking him to task and saying, wait a minute, man. Handing out a bunch of damn turkeys is not giving back to the community. Stop that bull crap. Tell us how we can get where you are. Don't bring us no damn birds. Don't bring us no freaking fish. Tell us how to get our own fishing poles. Tell us how we can make our own bait. Tell us where the best spots are to fish for ourselves. Instead of you sitting up here talking about, I brought y'all a great deal on fish. Let me go get my own. Let me get my own. Dr. Claude Anderson is literally doing that, y'all. He's got his own fishery. He literally breeds his own fish. Literally. He doesn't need anybody to teach him how to fish. He literally gets his own. Literally. His own literal fish. Damon Dash won't tell you all how to make a song for yourselves. What you do is when you're trying to conceal information from people, you become very meticulous about hiding tools. You don't tell people the kinds of tools you used, not when you're trying to hide information from them. You see, the fraud wanted to act like this was all magical and mystical. He got angry when I did videos explaining people. Got angry about the fact that I explained to people, here's the equipment. Well, dude, I was hosting my broadcast way before yours. That's why I can tell people the kind of equipment that you used to do this with. I'm not going to keep it from them. You want them to sit up here and beg you to live this voluptuary lifestyle. And don't you see how many black men are out there doing the same thing? Whether it's the highest level or a low life level like his, they're all doing the same thing. They're all doing the same thing, trying to figure out how they can make you all into lifetime customers. They don't want to build power with you. They want you to just be their customers. And the only thing I don't like about it is so many people are willing to accept that position. Too many people are willing to accept that position, and that's what I don't like. Because Damon Dash shouldn't be getting any respect from anybody talking about the music business. He shouldn't get any respect from anybody until he does something that P. Diddy and Jay-Z are not doing. P. Diddy and Jay-Z are not telling people how they can take over the industry. They're just telling you how great and how wonderful they are in the industry with their crap music. But they will not tell you how to make your own. And I'm saying you all should not even talk about giving them respect. giving Damon Dash any greater respect than you do Jay-Z or P. Diddy until they start giving up information. If they refuse to do that, you don't give them any accolades. You don't give them your esteem. They're not worthy of it.
That's another thing. I mean, a lot of I've been not really into a lot of media that's supposedly owned and operated by a lot of black people. Say BET. I stopped watching BET years ago. I mean, years ago, I was just like, you know what? I'm good on that because it's some good stuff on there. But you got to go through so much garbage to get one one little nugget of goodness, and it's like, what? So I got to sit here for 6 hours, you know, and try to find and sift through all this trash to find something that's half decent. And then, of course, then you got Ebony, Essence. I haven't read Ebony probably for about 10 years. I used to pick, I pick it up. I used to read it because, my mom gets it. But I'm like, wow, I mean, I don't know what's wrong with Ebony. Ebony's a delusional magazine. It's a horrible magazine. I mean, I read a lot of their articles before. Then they had the one with the, Ebony and Ivory. I seen that just like a bleep on the net. Ebony and Ivory, the interracial, couples that worked. They actually had Holly Berry on there. I was like, really? But that was the thing. It was like they're more promoting than just, saying, okay, this is a good couple. We'll do it all day. They go to the extreme of if you're not just showing something, you're it's propaganda. You're promoting this.
Yeah, but I mean, but
how
promoting
it for wrong reasons.
How does Ebony get Halle Berry on there, Halle Berry's agent? And how does Halle Berry's agent, why is Halle Berry's agent contacting Ebony when it's time for a movie to come out? So white people pulling strings on that. White folk pull strings on that thing for them. They are responding. A corporation calls them up and says, yeah, we want you to talk to Halle Berry. She's got a new movie coming out. She's playing a 911 operator. We need you to be on there and talk to her. But make it seem like you're not working that she has a new movie coming out. And make it seem like you're talking about something else. Why don't you go ahead and talk to us about your ex-boyfriend, Halle, because you spent a decade on Oprah Winfrey trashing black men. Why does Ebony give her a podium and a forum to trash Gabriel Aubrey? Why don't they give her that? Since you want to talk to her so bad, let's talk about Gabriel Aubrey, Halle. I'd like to hear about him. And tell us how well that your anti-black male experiment went. We'd like to hear it. We'd like to know how that went off for you. Because Essence and Ebony gave her a microphone and a forum for years to go in on Christopher Williams, Dave Justice, Wesley Snipes, Eric Benet. When it was time to destroy black men, Ebony was right there. Essence was right there. They loved it. Now it's time to talk honestly about white supremacy, and Ebony and Essence cannot be found. And you're going to tell me that these are our friends? I'd like to hear more about Mr. Gabriel Aubrey now. I wasn't interested before, but now that we've worked in the white supremacy angle, I can be an avid reader. I'd like to hear about this. But Ebony isn't interested in bringing us this news. Ebony is too busy once again attacking black men by saying that we're not real fathers if we're not gay. So they won't attack white supremacy. They avoid attacking white supremacy. They refuse to speak against Gabriel Aubrey, but they are proud to speak against black men. That is treason, brother. That's treason. And we need to call it for what it is in unapologetic terms. Call it for what it is. Because nobody else is going to say this like this. They're too scared about losing sponsors. Now, when Bob Johnson owned BET, he got on 60 Minutes with Ed Bradley, talking about, oh, if we could make money with this other stuff, we would. But we do this crap we're putting out here because it makes money. Okay, what if the History Channel had the same idea? A&E had the same idea. That we had to put a bunch of hoes out here with their breasts hanging out in order to talk about history. They sat until they made an audience. They raised people's expectations. They didn't lower them. They didn't lower their content value for people's expectations. They demanded that other people step up to it until they started the reality shows. Bob Johnson said that black folk ain't worth that. Well, I could make money doing something decent, but I can make more money with this crap. And once he said that, that's when you should have known he was priming himself to cash out. You should have known it right then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Bob Johnson went off and where he went. You know, he went on his little tour of Africa after he sold BET. You know, they did a couple of articles with his daughter, and then after that, he disappeared because he said he was heading over to Liberia to start some kind of, you know, transatlantic trading between, you know, African Americans and Liberians, since we have a history together. And he had the money, but he kind of did it, and then he kind of just like disappeared. And I was like, really? Really, you're just doing a publicity stunt, then you're going to take your money and run. But a lot of people don't realize when he did that, because it was all over the news, and he was running around, yeah, Liberia, and, you know, it was founded by free slaves, and da-da, and I'm coming here. And so he made it look like, oh, I didn't just sell BET just to cash out. I mean, I sold BET so I could go and do something, which he never did.
Yeah, we keep falling for the bait every time. That's so sad for black people. We keep falling for the bait every damn time. Negroes will sit up here and tell us any garbage we expect, no proof. And even when they give us, even when they finally tell us the truth that they lied to us, we don't take them to task. We don't punish them. We don't hold them accountable for lying to us. You know why white folk get the results they get? Because one day they are praising Eric Cantor and the next minute they are beheading him. In front of the whole world, they show him that we will replace you in a moment's notice the second you stop being useful to us. Black folk act like a bunch of damn battered, abused wives. This Negro is cheating on us, drinking, smoking, beating our asses, and we're just going back to work. We're not leaving him. Hell, black folk ain't even calling the police on him to get him to stop jumping on us. We're not even doing that. We just sit there and let him beat on us until his knuckles get bloody and raw. That's what we do. People will sit here and lie to us, and we never hold them accountable. Ebony is lying and abusing us, and we will not hold them accountable. And that's why you and I better do something. You and me and Olmeki and Descendant, we better do something. Because these people are here to deliver us to their masters. Just like the Children's Crusade. When the adults marched children off for the Crusades and then turned them over to the Arab slave traders.
Yep.
I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Well, Jason, that's pretty much all I called in to say. Black first, and I'm just going to keep my ear to the ground because this is getting, I'm talking about, like, ridiculous. You can't find a safe haven anywhere. I mean, it seems like we're just turning against ourselves when it comes to anyone making money. I mean, it's money over people is what it is. So
culture is what we've done. We've adopted a culture of being groupies. We are the groupies to the world. We don't own anything. We're not masters to the world. We're just the groupies. And it's time for you and me and intelligent black society to change that. Thank you very much for calling us, brother. Do give us a call here again. For those of you who haven't yet, we're entering the last 24 hours of the 7 a.m. promotion. It has been tremendous. It has been historic. It's been unprecedented. We have broken down barriers. We've passed milestones. Right now, everybody, this is your opportunity to get involved before it's all over. Make your mark and put your name on history. The website is 7ammovie.com. That's 7ammovie.com. In the middle of the screen, you'll see where it says, click here to get involved. You're coming up on your last 24 hours to put your name on this because your children and your grandchildren, when they look back and they see Ebony magazine putting up pictures of gays and saying that this is what being black man is, and your children say, did you go along with this coonery? You want to be able to show them your name rolling on the credits of 7 a.m. and be able to show them this is what I stood for. When Ebony was selling us out, I was bringing us up. I want us to hit 100,000. Let's show Johnson Publications, Essence Magazine, Goldie Taylor. Let's show the thoughts breastfeeding at graduations to try to portray black women as whores and sluts. Let's show CNN. Let's show the world that they've underestimated us and that they've made a dangerous mistake doing that. A very dangerous mistake. Professor Black Truth, there was one other thing I wanted to mention here before I take any more phone calls. Black people do not understand that you heard a lot in California after Prop 8 was passed. You heard the gays yelling against black people, yelling against the Mormon church, yelling against the Republican Party. But there was one group of people who were in favor of Prop 8, and you never heard the gays and their supporters say one word against them. Not in California, not in New York, not in California, and not even in New York. Did you notice that they didn't say anything against fundamentalist Jews who were against gay marriage? You didn't see all that hate speech and F the Mormons, what they had on the side of their house? They said F the Mormons. You notice they didn't say F the Jews? Did you notice that they never said anything about that? Hell, you had a few of them saying F black people, but they didn't say F the Jews. They didn't say to hell with you fundamentalist Jews. They didn't even try to be specific and say, well, I didn't say all Jews, I said these Jews. Did anybody notice that they didn't even try that? They hated everybody, but they didn't have a word to say against Jewish people. I wonder why that was, brother.
One word, power. There's nobody who's going to sit there and decide that they're going to call themselves throwing mud on the Jews. Not going to happen. Because the Jews got money, but more importantly than that, how the world are you going to sling mud on the Jews? The Jews have an absolute dominance when it comes to a media presence. And I don't begrudge them that. I'm looking at black people and saying, no, we got all the money in the world. And we have a dynamic culture that we could monetize, and we could run this thing. The reason we're taking all these body shots and all these blows is because of the fact that we've made ourselves into punching bags. We become apathetic, we become passive as hell, and we are reaping the bitter fruits of passiveness, which is you get stepped on. We used to have a t-shirt back in the day that said Black Power. Now the t-shirt says Welcome on it, and everybody's wiping their feet on us, except for intelligent black society. Intelligent black society knows the score. We understand what it's at and what it's got to be. And it doesn't matter how much shaming talk that you use. It doesn't matter how much advocacy there is. We have a value system. And that value system is geared toward a solid economic foundation. And you don't get that when you practice living any old kind of way. When you decide that what goes on in the bedroom is more important than what goes on in the boardroom, we don't do that. What we focus on is power, wealth, and influence. We don't focus on indulging our own brand of sexual kink. We don't focus on trying to manufacture genetically modified designer babies. Oh, I'm sorry, I meant to say swirl. You can call anything you want, but when you're sitting here swirling, there's something else that swirls too. Crap. Around a toilet bowl. I don't care who doesn't like to hear that. At the end of the day, it's wrong to be teaching black people that our value system should be just whatever the rest of the world is doing. because we are not the rest of the world. We are a unique group with our own history, our own ideology, and our own agenda. And what that means basically is we're not supposed to be winning a popularity contest. The contest we're supposed to be winning is supposed to be a contest of money and power and influence. And you're not going to get there when it's everything is everything. To hell with that. I am a black man. I don't take it up the rump. I don't bow to females. And I'm not sitting here kissing any pale behinds. Because a black man must stand on his own two feet because he must lead his people. That threatens those in power. You sit there and tell everybody we are the world, then you're practicing genocide. It is wrong to sit here and tell our children that they should be colorblind in a world that is not. It is wrong to teach our children that they should see no color in a world that can only see their color. It is wrong to teach them that everyone is the same when the truth of the matter happens to be that black people are looked at as being less than. We are the only group of people on the planet who the Constitution of the most powerful nation on earth singled out and said, these people are not human beings. And by the way, that's still in the books. That was never repealed. That befits human being never repealed. All they did was they amended it. An amendment means that you are basically making an add-on to. You are not a full human being. What you are is a 14th Amendment. They simply said that the 3/5 human beings can have a vote. But at the end of the day, you understand that it doesn't matter how many votes you got. Money is what counts in this society. So instead of looking for votes, you should have been looking for businesses. Ebony's not going to teach you that. Jet ain't going to tell you that. And truth be told, even publications like Black Enterprise aren't going to teach you that. They celebrate their hand-picked cadre of friends. But at the end of the day, do you see any of them sitting here going, man, look at this 7 a.m. thing. They started off originally just targeting a few cities with a modest goal, and now they've blown past so-called media darlings like Issa Rae. They've outdone Goldie Taylor. Who are these? They're not looking to push this schedule. What they're looking for, and you know, if Jason and I were to get on here and say that basically all you mean black folk in California standing against gay marriage, don't y'all understand that gays are being treated like the new niggas? If we got up here saying that, they'd be like, oh, well, this blackchannel.net thing, we got to get them some, space on Madame Noir or on The Griot. They'd have already had Jason calling into a few shows, nationally syndicated shows by now, if we just made the change. But of course, if everybody's running around trying to be gay, then who's going to start the next generation of black people? Who's going to give rise to the next generation? See, those two guys getting together, they're not going to be having black children. They're going to be adopting, but they can adopt wherever the world they want. How do you have a solid culture when the culture is based on what you do in the bedroom and based on equivocating behavior that was previously understood by everyone to go nowhere? So no, we're not going to be getting some gay agenda. And we're also not swirling over here. The only agenda that we're concerned with is power, wealth, and influence. And we ain't swirling because black is not a swirl. Black is black. Deal with it.
Let's go ahead and see if we can grab another couple of phone calls here now. Let's see. Caller from 240, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello, Jason. Hello, Professor Truth. This is Gwendolyn from Fort Meade, Maryland.
What's on your mind, sister?
Yes. You know, I was just listening to what Professor Truth was saying. It was really important to me, and I think that was great. There's just so many points that he hit. And I just kind of wanted to, I guess, you know, you kind of mentioned Halle Berry, and, you know, when that information came about her and paying the child support and everything, I just thought that's exactly what she gets, and that's exactly what she had coming to her. And it's not something that I know the system is messed up, but I think sometimes you have to be taught a lesson, and she thought, you know, things were going to be different. I did see her go on Oprah, you know, especially when she went on and said, you know, I'm done with black men, when she started dating this man, is when she went on Oprah, and she, you know, she said that, and I immediately thought, you know, well, that's why you have problems in your marriage, because you're not, you don't believe you're a black woman, you're not loyal, if you're so changeable, and to go on TV and say something like that about black people and black men like that, it just really kind of shows your position. And now I think that she had her moment. You know, I think that she's really had it in the light, if she hadn't had it before, because from what I know, they had a bad, abusive, you know, relationship. So I kind of think that people do get what's coming to him. I didn't like what she did at all, you know, so I didn't stand behind that at all. And I just hope that it kind of showed people, you know, where she really stands, because she chose who she had her baby with, and she made that, you know, like Professor was saying about the swirl and everything, and she made her choice. And I think especially when a black woman makes that choice, they're really saying something, you know, when they do things like that with white men, they're really telling you something about themselves and what they want and who they want to be and what they think of their black side. And, you know, I just completely agree with everything that's, you know, been said. And, you know, as far as the Ebony magazine, you know, I've been seeing them do weird stuff like that for the last few years. I don't subscribe, but I do. You can't help but see it and the covers and the crazy things they do. And there seems to be just this movement. And Oprah is really headlining this gay movement. VH1 is doing a lot of black woman things. And then you have Oprah. She is really on this gay black men thing, you know, from whether you're talking about, what's her name, Terry from How Stella Got Her Groove Back, or, you know, her show, or you're talking about the stuff that she has on her network right now. And, I mean, it is like she does have it out. I mean, anyone who would look at that channel, I don't know how you could think that she would look as a black man as anything else but what she portrays them as. I mean, it's just really awful, the things that she has airing on her channel. And it's quite close to what you saw on Ebony. And we are accepting everything. And I do talk to black women about it all the time. And, I mean, they'll tell you that they're Cuban or they're everything else but black. They have no, they don't want to talk about being black. They don't want to talk about black power, but they will fight you over a drag queen. They'll tell you that they can do what they want. It doesn't matter. You know, they can be around the kids. They can teach it in the school. I mean, it's just like people are really confused and brainwashed. I mean, it's really sick out here the way that a lot of women especially are perpetuating and celebrating this. And these are our men and these are our boys. And I'm really, really thinking, and I just, you know, if you can tell me why I'm thinking this, but I'm really starting to think that the HIV and this stuff that us black women are contracting, it's like I'm really thinking, are these guys even confusing or tricking us, or are we just sleeping with gay men? Because there's no way you can't know some of these men are not right, if you know what I'm trying to say. Are women missing the signs? Is it just a free-for-all? Are we...
They are not missing the signs. Black women are sleeping with anything and everything. Hey, you go take a look at that photograph and go take a look at the number of... It was black women... Mostly black, it was black men who were against the picture, and it is mostly black women defending it. Black women for the last 30 years have been playing this sick, insane, incestuous, perverted game where they dabble with homosexuals. And, oh, that's so cute. That's so cute. They all got a gay buddy, a gay friend. Oh, that's so cute. And it used to be that, well, it's because he doesn't want anything sexually. But the truth is that black women have just become so lowered and they've dabbled with homosexuality, and now what's happened is they become married to degeneracy. So understand something. They know that these guys are gay. What they are doing is the same thing with these gay males that they do with these thug males, that they do with these dishonest males, that they do with these interracialist males. They play a game, and they only get mad when they get bitten. But up until then, it is all gravy. You all know that TV show MSNBC Lock Up Raw. How many times have we turned on Lock Up Raw and they're talking to some black dude in there? And I mean, whenever they go and talk to the queens at some prison, they'll have the black dudes up here. And, oh, I'm gay. Yeah, I'm gay. He's flaming. He's gay. And then you go and find his boyfriend. This dude looks like the most thugged out masculine thing in there. Put him on the street and you would not know readily that he was homosexual. But when they're in prison, though, that's what they play with. Now, what I'm saying is you wouldn't readily know, but if you stick with a guy long enough, he's going to let you know he's gay. Mm-hmm. He's going to let you know that he's not just exclusively women. He's gay. And these females play this game. Now, particularly with these dudes who are doing them girls' hair, there's under no illusions. Black women play this game because single mothers... Understand, Sigmund Freud was right in what he said. The only unnatural sex is none at all. The only unnatural sex is none at all. And once you become ragged out, when you open up your body to one perverse, you've opened it up to all of them. Once you say it's okay for all these males to lay on top of me, then you don't discriminate against what kind of male he is. You don't discriminate. So understand, they're under no illusions. They know what these guys are. And just like they will sit there and try to argue you down and say, I didn't know I was going to get pregnant, they will stare and lie to your face and say, I didn't know he was gay, even though every female and every person around him was telling him, oh, really? You with Marvin? Girl, he's not really gay. He's not really gay. Don't you know that there are females who would run around with Eddie Murphy and Prince today? Mm. How many times has Eddie Murphy been busted with a male prostitute now? I'm not blowing up his spot, y'all. It's just the truth. But Hollywood, he's one of their token Negroes, so they don't blow that up. But how many times has Eddie been busted now with a transsexual prostitute now? How many times has that occurred? He's like, damn me, Mr. C. Look him up. I mean, he just needs to admit, hey, y'all, I'm gay. Plain and simple. Take a look at Donald Sterling. Still got black females chasing him. Black women have shown that you can be a bigot and say, I hate black people, and still black women will walk next to you. I'm not putting down black as a group. What I'm saying is it's time for us to admit the truth of how severe the problem is. As a group, black women play these games. And the only time they cry foul is when they get bitten. But up until they get bitten, everything is cool. It is black women who are defending that picture. Black men are not doing it. It's the black females doing it. Because black females do not want black men to have standards. They want black men to be weak and effeminate and effete because they are afraid that a black male who is strong and determined and decisive will make a decision other than her. So if the only males that I can control are gay, then so be it. HIV, herpes, gonorrhea, I'll take my chances. He's something I can control. I don't care if I could die from it. My ego matters more to me than my life. That's what's happening among black women today. Black women should be on that article screaming. How many decades now did black women talk about all these down-low men, down-low men, down-low men, down-low men? Don't you talk about my Lord. Don't you talk about my Bible. They should be shouting Ebony out of existence today. Black women should be lined up shouting it out of existence. Where's Creflo Dollar to talk about this? Where's Top Dollar Jakes? Where is Eddie Long? And how many of them are gay? And why is it you've never asked? Why is it you've never asked or demanded that they defend the whole Bible? Because the truth is you don't really want to know. You don't actually want to know what he's doing. Because you're afraid. You're afraid that once you know, you will have to admit to the truth. And the truth is that black females as a group would rather have a gay male that they can control than a who has AIDS than a straight male who will lead whom they cannot control. And that's just the truth.
And that is very true, because as you say that, I know that there have been men that I've come in contact with, whether it was dating or friends or something, you know, my friend's brother or something, that would be stand-up men like yourself and Professor Truth. And women, when those men weren't interested in them or when they looked by them, they were all of a sudden, they were gay or they weren't interested or they were gay, or they would accuse those men of liking white women or, being gay. That's usually what it was. And I would say, no, they're actually not those women. The men you're dealing with are those men, you know, but because that's exactly what you said. If they won't give them attention or, you know, look at them or entertain their silliness, then they think you're gay. Or they don't think
being
that, but they'll try to put that
thing
out there.
Being gay is a bad thing when they're not catering to your ego. Being gay is a bad thing, and it's terrible, and it's the most horrible thing on the planet when they are not catering to your ego. But when they're catering to your ego, all of a sudden you don't care. These same women who holler about he's gay because he don't like me, or he's gay because he's not responding the way I want them to, they are the exact same. You can line them up through their Facebook profiles. They are the exact same females who, if you say something they don't like, they'll say you're gay. And what I'm saying is we have a terrible problem of immaturity. We have a epidemic of immaturity among black females. And that's why you can't let them keep running the homes, all these bastard baby-making teenage mothers, because they do not approach raising a family or having children like an adult. They still talk and reason and think in childish adolescent ways. So what you've got are a bunch of 30-year-old adolescents. You do not have grown women. You just got a bunch of old adolescents out here.
Well, did you see that black women got together in the last couple of days, and thousands of them, tens of thousands of us have signed the petition for baby Blue Ivy to do her hair, to get her hair done? And, you know, I saw that petition passing around, and there's been, a few articles written about it, and I just thought that was absolutely crazy. You know, apparently, I guess she's 2 years old, her hair is messed up, I guess, or something. And, you know, black women are really out here. I mean, it's really strange. I still don't understand the things that we as black women, I mean, there is a serious problem because we are picking up on the wrong issues. I mean, we're defending gays. We're not defending our men. And then we're only defending our men when they're gay. We're not defending our men when they're men. We didn't defend Isaiah Washington. We didn't defend a lot of men that maybe, I'm not saying maybe they're the best examples. I think some of them are, but we don't defend those men. We throw them under the bus. We throw them under the bus, and then we get upset at them if they're dating this woman or this woman. But we're not defending them, and then we're only sticking up for them when they have heels on and when they have makeup on. I mean, it's really sick. It's really sad what a lot of the women have come to. You know, and it's just exactly what you guys are saying, and I see it. I guess I just didn't want to. It's hard to watch because we're raising. I see my friends with their sons, and they're dressing them like little gay little boys, and little. I don't know if they're skaters or I don't know what these jeans are. I don't even know where you get tight jeans for babies, and I'm not sure where they buy these clothes. But
They're not treating them like children. They're treating them like their own perverted little sex toys, their own little perverted little sexual experiments. And this is what happens when you let a bunch of females who've been sexually abused, hypersexualized at young ages because they've been sexually abused, because their mothers set them out like hookers, Oh, I'm not supposed to say that. Their mothers set them out like hookers, and they cannot distinguish between a healthy sexual disposition and a sick one. They can't distinguish anymore. And they meet people like us, and it's amazing. So you add to that their gross level of immaturity, and you have individuals who cannot be trusted to make any type of rational adult decision. And that is why we as intelligent black society better stop being so damn shy. Because understand, your children are getting, they can only raise their children to be carjackers. They can only raise their children to be degenerates who yell and scream and name call from the Ebony website. You better start treating this like this is war, and it's not a game, and it's not a joke. And the chicks with the feminist agenda, Gwendolyn, I hope you're listening, they're the prime people and the prime suspects who sit up here perpetuating this. They would rather, their problem is not with male domination. Their problem is with males, period. And that's why feminists have never had a problem. You've never heard them speak against male homosexuals. Because he's weak. He's effete. He's effeminate. He is weak. Because a fake woman will never be able to outdo a real woman. And that's why they support gay males. He's never going to challenge her. Because he sees the world through her eyes. Just like he sees the world through the eyes of white supremacy. I'll let you have the last word.
Well, you know, I hear everything that you're saying, and, you know, I stand behind you in that, because I am seeing a lot of the things that women are saying, and then it just comes down to they do just have a problem with men, and a lot of the black women seem to be hurt or scorned or just have a problem with black men, no matter what they do, they're over the edge. And so I don't think a lot of those women are going to be brought back. I think a lot of them are out to destroy, you know, a black male's image. I think they've cut themselves loose from black people. They don't care to be, you know, a part of the group. And, you know, that's what you get supporting women like Oprah and supporting a lot of things that a lot of the women and some of the men are out here doing. So, you know, I would just warn people against that stuff and always look at what they're putting on TV and look at the families they're trying to put on TV. You see more now, they're having a lot of interracial IKEA commercials and, you know, showing a lot of black men with other people and even some black women in some cases. And we just need to pay attention to why are they not showing black families. They skip right over the black family. I still have not seen consistently black families on commercials, on TV. And we just really need to...
You see more interracial and gay couples on TV than you have black mm-hmm. ones. They're mm-hmm. not even being subtle about this stuff anymore.
Mm-mm.
They're not even being subtle with you. Understand, you are at war. Whether you're looking for a fight or not, this fight's looking for you. Thank you very much for joining us here tonight. Gwendolyn, please give us a call again. And, of course, here at the Black Channel, we will be broadcasting tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central. Same black time, same black channel. You definitely need to join us because, as you can all see, this is the haven of intelligent black thought. You get the insight and analysis on these things you can get nowhere else. We bring this to you at 2 million degrees, so you better understand that. Nobody else is going to explain it to you in the terms and with the intelligence, the straightforwardness that we give it to you in. And it's irrefutable when we get done. You might not like it, but it's irrefutable. You want to see somebody who really gets mad? Go find the gay writer at Ebony and let him hear this broadcast. He will scream, he will yell, he will curse. He will not give you one fact to the contrary, not even one. Let's take another call here. Caller from 252, you're on live with the Black Channel. Turn off the speakers.
Oh, yeah, I'm coming through. Hello?
Yes, you're on live.
Hey, Jason Blank, how you doing? My name is Corey Bush. I'm calling from actually Columbia, South Carolina. Originally,
get off your phone. Yes.
Hello?
Okay, I'm not going to say yes again.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. It must have been a delay. I apologize. My name is Corey Bush. Like I said, I'm calling from Columbia, South Carolina. Just want to say, want to give you, I guess, an apology and a thank you. An apology come from, I first heard about you, that's about a year ago, via the Sotomayor, Tommy Sotomayor show. And I would hear you come in, and actually, that was the main time that I actually would come in and look forward to the broadcast. You basically brought that his show alive. And it was like you could see you elevated the, the depth of what his show was. You elevated everybody's thinking. You elevated the way everybody, you took us out of that. I don't want to be negative, but you took us out of that childish arena, and you elevated it. Think not just myself, but other people and him. He saw it as well. And then when the issue came up, like I said, I'd listened to him for a while. I found him via one of Tariq Nasheed's videos. As I've heard, I've listened to a couple of your videos as well. And about in January, that scenario happened, when he did the first video speaking negative of you, of course, I haven't heard all of your videos at that time. I'm not going to say I took your side, but I kind of felt some sort of way about you. Mind you, at that time, I didn't know you. The type of line of work that I'm in, I drive to different hospitals throughout North and South Carolina, so I'm behind the wheel a lot. So I decided one morning I woke up, I listened to the one couple of videos after the video he made about you, and I woke up, the first thing that came to my mind, and it could have been the ancestors speaking through me, but the first thing that came to my mind was that I was going to wake up, and I drive anywhere from 2 to 3 hours to get to different hospitals, and I said, I'm going to listen to every one of your shows. I'm sorry, every one of your broadcasts. So I started from the very first one, and mind you, like I say, over the past year, maybe year and a half, I had listened to a few of them, like the one you did about the white woman nigger rampage. I listened to a few of them. I do remember that was one that stood out, but I made it a conscious effort. I listened to every single one from your very first one, your broadcast, on the Black Authority. I listened to everyone, and I just finished. Now, this is starting back in February, and I'm driving back and forth to the house. I just recently moved here. I was planning on getting my cable and everything hooked up. I didn't do that because I was so enamored in looking at all of your, listening into all of your broadcasts. It felt like if you had charged $2,000, $3,000, for the education that you laid out from the videos that I've seen, that would have been a steal. I can't believe that a man in this day and age speak the way that you speak. And throughout that time, I mean, like I would literally wake up, couldn't wait to get to listen to some of your broadcasts. And so that's where the apology comes in, because I kind of, at the time, the apology comes at one point, like I said, I was introduced to you through Tommy, and I was kind of on his side until I heard your broadcast. And after about, it didn't even take 2 weeks, I couldn't listen to no more of his broadcast. It's like I could not believe that I was actually in that state of mind. I'm a grown man. I'm 43. I turned 44 this year. And somebody at my age, I was ashamed of myself that I even do that. Now, mind you, some of his videos at that time were conscious. That was the one thing that they introduced me to him. But whenever you would come in to join him, you elevated that. And you brought a lot of men and women like myself from that arena into the intelligent black thought. And I can't tell you how much I've grown mentally, how much I thought I knew, how much I've grown just as a human being in my dialect. A lot of times when I'm on the road, I have two different phones. I have my work phone and I have my personal phone. So when I would listen to you, I would listen to some of the, like Rubicon. I'm like, okay, what is Rubicon? So I would have my encyclopedia, Wikipedia on my other phone, And I would look up some of the words that you would hear. I'm like, okay, Rubicon, I never heard that before. Ah, it's a river in Italy, the point of no return. That's, I'm like, wow. It's like every day I'm getting an education. You basically, you didn't dip down into, you know, to try to get people to step on their level. You brought everybody up. You brought everybody up. And that's where the thank you come in. I've never met
You know why
anybody.
That happens, though.
I'm sorry?
Let me tell you why that happens. Individuals mm-hmm. like and Professor Black Truth and Umar Johnson, the reason why people use that phrase with us all the time, that we've elevated the conversation, we make conscious effort to that.
Yes.
Understand something. When I sit here and say something, when I say, look it up, it's because I know it's a word that most people may not use, but I'm using it anyway, and I ain't going to stop using it. I will tell you, go look it up, but I'm not going to bring myself down.
Sure.
I'm not going to lower my standard so more people can get on board. The standard will remain high. You practice more, and you get stronger so you can get over that hurdle. But I'm not lowering the standard. I've raised the bar, and that is where it will remain because we're not going back down to the gutter anymore. So I make a conscious decision. Professor Truth makes a conscious decision that we do this the way we're doing it.
Yes, sir.
It would be very easy to try to figure out, okay, what's the level everybody is on? Okay, it's down there. Let me talk down there because I want to get something. I don't sell anything here. The only thing I'm offering is stuff that people have asked for and 7 a.m., which, of course, makes sense if somebody's shot a documentary. But you all have not seen me sitting up here hawking a bunch of wares. I don't have a Black Channel store. I don't have, you know, this, that, and the other like that. I could have one, but I don't. It was folk here who were talking about they wanted 7 a.m. shirts. They wanted Black First shirts. They wanted 7 a.m. caps. I'm just doing that because I'm the only person legally who can do it. Anybody else that gets sued to hell, I'm the only person who can legally do it. And I think it's good because it gives people something else to wear besides Jay-Z's crap. But at the same time, I'm trying to raise the bar on these things. I don't sell subscriptions for my website. I don't charge people anything to go on my website or to listen. And I'm not making that, I'm not using that as an excuse to scrub my videos from YouTube because somebody went back to my videos and put together Lie Machine. And now since somebody put together Lie Machine, now I have to go on YouTube and scrub my videos from it because people have gone back. Oh, yeah, and go scrub my Blog Talk, too, by the way.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, by the way, and scrub my Blog Talk, too. See, TBA doesn't have to scrub nothing. It's out there for everybody until YouTube takes it down, which, by the way, they've been doing lately. By the way, I should let y'all know they've been doing that. But no, yeah. I'm not charging people and using that as my excuse to scrub my videos. I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. You tell lies about me, and I'm going to respond by telling the truth about you. Black people have been used, abused, exploited, destroyed, eviscerated, raped, robbed, and murdered by fast-talking con men within Black society. That is where your Black clergy comes from. Oh! I'm not supposed to say that, but I did. That's where your Black clergy comes from. Your Black clergy were the fast-talking dudes on the plantations. They were the fast-talking Black men on the plantations because even though they had no status in the house, they had status among the slaves. Because he was the guy who figured out what was in the Bible. Or at least, even if he couldn't read the Bible, he could sure do a good jive talk about Jesus. And the master saw that as you. This guy can jive talk about Jesus without me actually teaching him how to read. So he will never be able to challenge me for power. He is a more useful tool of servitude. Here you go, nigger. Here's two things of cornbread, the one. Here you go, nigger. Here's some extra pork. And whenever the slaves were on the revolt, what would he do? Now, you know, y'all just sit tight here, okay? I'm going to let Master know that things is tough out here. Let me go talk to him now. Y'all ain't got to talk about that. That's stupid now. He's going to get y'all ain't going to do nothing but get a bunch of y'all killed. Even though in the states of Georgia and other places, black slaves outnumbered the white population of the entire state. And I'm not guessing this. The damn census tells us this. Leading up to the Civil War, your 1850 census tells us that black slaves outnumbered white people in several states. But your preachers on the plantation, your fast-talking, thumb-snapping, gold-chain-wearing, vodka-drinking, Bible-thumpers. Oh, yeah, by the way, with no Bible. He's thumping. He doesn't have a Bible, but he's telling you all about it. Those were the dudes who were entrusted with selling you down the river. And when you were ready to revolt, when you were ready to have a revolution, he was the guy who dissipated the energy, who talked you down, who told you don't be enraged, who said, I'll go talk to Massa. He'd go talk to Massa, and Massa would say, he would come back and, well, what did Massa say? Is he gonna take care of all these beatings? Well, what he said is that he going to have a talk with Charlie about beating on us. I told him, y'all got to do something about this here. Never had a talk with Charlie. Nothing ever changed. That's what they did. Oh, yeah, but Pastor Cornbread got two more pork chops and an extra thing of whiskey. By the way, did you all know that on the plantation it was common to have Christmas parties? Did you know that? I'm talking about for the slaves. For the slaves, it was common to have Christmas and Thanksgiving celebrations for the slaves. Not as robust as for the white folk, but the slaves got to participate in that. And, oh, yeah, one of the things they always made sure was that the slaves had ready access to liquor. You couldn't get freedom. You couldn't get health care. You couldn't get proper nutrition. But you could get liquor.
What do you
understand,
think that was?
Brother, this, for the same reason as today, you can't get health care. You can't get a job. You can't get a decent standard of living. Every black male is where he can get some liquor. I don't care who he is. He can be homeless with no job. He got a paper bag, don't he?
Right.
What does that tell you? That's a time-honored tradition. You brothers better wake up and recognize that these fast-talking charlatans and whatnot, we need to stop rewarding them, and we have to lose our taste for being exploited and lied to. Black women need to lose their taste for being lied to. Your mama and your grandmama were single mothers. That's your first clue that they ain't got a damn idea how to get a man and how to keep one. And whoever they tell you is a good man, you need to run from him. If your mama was never married, or she was married to nothing but bums, and she tells you that that's a good man for you to be married to, run. Don't walk, run. How does she know? Is he as good as Dad was? Is he good like that? You don't take, we have a way of rewarding our failures because they speak to us in a way that we like, or we let them condition us to be like them. At some point, you got to look at somebody who is exploiting and misusing you and say, I don't want to be nothing like you. Show me the other direction. I don't want to be anything like you. I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Well, I definitely want to say thank you. And I'm actually doing this and I made a commitment months ago, back in February, when I first heard about the project. And I said, you know, before I decide, because at the time, and I know you're not taking this personal by me saying this, but, you know, at the time I didn't really know you. But I just want to say for everybody who hears this tonight or even if they go back and look at the YouTube video, I really strongly encourage everyone, if they find it, to look at yourself, the black authority, look from the first video you have up there. You went over about the Rico Gray. You basically broke that down I mean, I just went through every single one, and I can just feel myself, my train of thought, my thinking changing. And I'm like, okay, you're a few years younger than me, but I'm sitting here thinking to myself, why? Why did I not meet this? Even a year ago would have made a couple of, you know, difference in certain decisions that I made 2 years ago. But I encourage everyone to do that so they can get that experience that I have. I can't tell you how much I've saved by not having a cable bill. And I just can tell you my way of thinking. I don't come in, I'm not, you know, slouch. You know, I don't come in and want to look at the remote like I, you know, at one point I used to do, come in. And, you know, I basically, higher thought, that's something that I crave. And one thing that I decided that I was going to do, I said, once I listen to all of his video and go through and listen to this and to see what, you know, this brother is really about, then I'll decide if I'm going to contribute something. And I made a decision tonight that I was going to do, and I wanted to do it on air, which is what I'm doing as of right now. I'm making a contribution. I'm making a contribution right now as we speak, and I'm logging into my account as we speak. And you will be able to see that, I guess, when it goes through. But what I wanted to do was make a contribution on air to encourage, to let everybody know, to see that I strongly believe. I was, as like I say, one point was a diehard listener of Tommy Sotomayor. I listened to all of his videos, and he had some great things, but it became a point where it was very hard or difficult to listen to him because he kind of kept it in that little childish arena. So you have to filter through a lot of junk to try to get the morsel of something. And I didn't get that. Every one of your video, your broadcast, you and Professor Black Truth, Mona Lachey, I mean, you know, these, you have a strong network that you've built, and I can see the bridge. And I will not allow myself to go through another year up under the same blindness that I was up under for so many years. I have to be a part of history. And it took me from following to be a strong follower. And I actually was disappointed at the time that I could not contribute to the Fatherless America Project. Now I think everything happens for a reason. I'm glad that I did it. But I said, there's no way I'm not going to be a part of history, to be a part of what you're doing. I don't see anybody else doing this. And I will not allow myself, as a man, as a grown man, to walk away from this and just listen to these broadcasts for free. No, I feel like I owe it to you to contribute. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to contribute now as the, I can't remember which one was it, it's the producer credit, the one for $250. And I'm going to see to it that I'm going to order, I'm going to make my total $300. Mind you, this is my off-pay week, so this is a sacrifice for me, but I have to do that. And I will order a couple of the T-shirts that I heard you broadcast earlier. And that's a small contribution to what you're doing, but I can assure you there will be more to come. It's just that I'm in the middle of a move, and I just, you know, kind of everything's kind of up in the air, but I will give that that part of my dedication and to show, put my money into action, and that way when the video comes out, I'm going to be able to see the vision that you have set forth for not just me, those come after me, all of us. And I just want to say thank you for elevating not just my level of thinking. I've seen a lot of these people call in and how you just steered them with intellect. And the sister who just got off the phone, I was listening to the very first, I think the first phone call when she called in. I think it was Gwendolyn, and she was on the feminist, and I forgot about that, but she was on the feminist issue. And I can definitely see how she is awakened to see how she was blinded. And, you know, if you weren't brutal with, you weren't bitter, you just basically let her see the light. And she is decided to walk, you know, to see things differently. And that's what you've done. That's one example. I got one other question I want to ask you before I go. But it was two people I used to hear on here a lot. I wish they would call in. It was one, Nanu. Nanu, I used to hear her. She used to be a regular caller. The thing I remembered about her, she had this laugh that she used to, I mean, she just had this laugh, and it was such a pleasant laugh. And my man Lonnie, I don't hear, I haven't heard them in a while. I hope they're still around, but
yeah,
they kind of stand out.
Lonnie. Do you remember? Yeah, it's going into the summer. People start disappearing on me there. And so my Jason Black account got shut down. That'd be a different matter. I forget what it's... if anybody can find Lonnie, though, because let me know if you all are friends with Lonnie on Facebook. Lonnie out of, I think it's out of Florida. Yeah, he's out of Florida. If you can find him or whatever, Facebook really messed me over. I think it's Lonnie. I'll see if I can send him a message and let him know. But haven't heard from him in a while. But like I say, people work, and I try not to get too worried when I don't hear from people for a while. I just take into account that they work and stuff like that and try to keep that. But let me tell you, what you've really said here tonight has really been inspiring for a lot of people, because I'm going to say something to people. Don't judge me by what I say. Judge me by how I live. Mm-hmm. If I were giving you one set of principles one day and then coming back and changing up the next, that would be different. I don't do that. I've been uncompromising. I'm not going to fight with you about if you believe in polygamy. I'm going to say that the mess is wrong. But what adults should do is they could find where they do agree and move on from there. Now, people should judge your credibility after you say something like that. Just understand your credibility is probably going to come into question. If you're talking about the black family and yet you are praising white women all over the place and every time we look up, you're all over Facebook smattered with white women, understand your credibility to speak on the black family is going to take a hit. It's probably going to vaporize. Understand that's just called being an adult. And if people say that they don't want to hear you speak on this anymore because you lack credibility, that's going to be a consequence of your actions. Don't judge me on what I say. Judge me on what I do. Judge me on my track record. Judge me on where I've been. Judge me on what I'm showing and proving. But there's a reason why people don't want to compare video and audio with me. And black people need to lose this nonsense where we keep subscribing to outlets like Ebony or The Fraud or Facebook or Essence or all kinds of people who have clearly shown they no longer have one scintilla of credibility left. But we got that taste for listening to jive talking instead of listening to the truth. And that's where we keep running into trouble. We're coming up on the end of our broadcast here, so I'm going to have to see if I can wrap this up here, but I'll definitely let you have the last word.
All right, Mr. Black, I just want to say one other thing. I just want to, congratulate you. I just got the return back. It says, thanks. You've raised the campaign total to 79,580. So we're at 79,580. We got about, 24 hours to go. I think we can get to that mark, and I will, and even if I have to pull deeper, if I have to pull deep because I know how important this is, I may even make another contribution because this is worth it. I've looked at some of the other things that I've spent money on in the past, and I don't have anything to show for it. I'm going to see something for this. So if I'm going to sacrifice, if I have to put another charge on the account, this is something that I think will be worth it, that I can see the results from, and I can look at and say to my son, okay, this is something that I was a part of. And there was one other thing that I wanted to add. I said when I called in, I wanted to mention this to you. And but there was one broadcast that that I heard. And I was sitting there, I'm a grown man, nothing feminine or soft about me at all, but literally brought tears to my eyes. I'm sitting there, I'm riding down the highway now, mind you, by myself. But when I heard this, it brought tears to my eyes. And one, that broadcast, and you need to put together another short video showing like the best of. But this video was, I think was the brother's name was Eric out of Phoenix. He called in one night, and he was disrespectful to Miss Mona. And then he called back the next day and was trying to say it wasn't him. He admitted it was him. And then he was asking him about his lawn business, and you broke down. And this brother literally, you could see the transformation. You broke down. I was just wanting to know if you still keep in touch with that brother, if he still called in, but... That was a pivotal moment. I want to say that was probably the moment that really turned me completely. So that was one of the broadcasts from back then. But when that brother was going down, when you basically let him know what he was doing that caused his business that is not growing, in the cell, and he finally saw the light. And after you talked to him, he had a genuine apologetic vibe about him for him calling and being disrespectful. And I think it was just from one of those vibes from the previous show that we used to look at, and that energy kind of tried to come over to your side. But you, without being ugly, without being, you know, harsh, as people would say, you changed. I mean, you basically touched that brother, and you touched knowledge. And I guess you touched him. That's all I can tell you. You touched him. And I was just wanting to know, that would be something, a video, I think, that would definitely be great to put, like, a best of, you know, so people can see the before and after and how, you know what I mean? That Gwendolyn, that sister who was on just earlier, that would be a great one. But I just wanted to give you props on that one. If anybody who haven't seen it, I don't know which video it was. I would strongly encourage you to go back from day one all the way up until present. And you will see. And I just want to say thank you once again, Black First.
Black First, brother. And if you are looking for black people who are trying to get something done, if you are looking for black men who speak to each other and treat each other like men and not like squabbling little girls in a fifth grade classroom, if you are eager and wanting to find the home of intelligent black society, then you have found kindred souls. Welcome to the Black Channel. Thank you very much for calling us, and please do call us again. Professor Truth, that's the kind of thing right there that we want to hear, brother. That we want to hear that people's tastes are changing, that they no longer are subscribing to coonery and buffoonery and calling that knowledge. That they are now subscribing to intelligence and calling it intelligence, because the reason that this place feels so different from any other place you could possibly be at, the reason why it feels so different is because real recognizes real. And when they get the real thing here, they recognize that it's the real thing.
That's because we don't do entertainment here. We don't do infotainment. People need to get used to that. It's going to be an acquired taste, but if you want to survive, it's a taste you better acquire nonetheless. You see, entertainment from fakers and frauds is different than what we do here, because they have to water it down. They got to dumb it down. They have to sit there and speak to your lowest basis nature, because that's how entertainment works. Entertainment has to cater to the dumbest person in the room, because that's how you hit the lowest common denominator, the broadest possible segment. You got to talk to the dumbest person in the room to make sure that they can get it. But people who are about true empowerment, they're going to use big words, use big concepts. We told you 5 years ago that the stated goal of the BlackChannel.net was to raise the level of social discourse and to elevate the debate. So, yeah, when you come here, you're not going to find anybody sitting here talking about who is Drake dating, or can you believe you heard on Love & Hip Hop, or, ooh, that girl with the big booty at the club. We don't sit here and talk like that. Because we're not trying to drag black people back to the ignorant and pathetic past. This ain't no back to the plantation. This is ahead to the future. And we're not going to be making room for the people who have a taste for that. You guys are the scabs that we're leaving behind. You're the ones that we're shaking off. We despise people like that. We despise people who are full of talk. That last call was inspirational, top to bottom. And people, you know, I'm glad that Jason made sure to not interrupt that brother. Let him have his say. Because when you have people whose eyes are being opened, and this is going to be a process, not an event, they're going to come here, and yeah, what they're going to be doing is they're going to be unloading to a certain degree. And that's fine. The brother, that was one of the best calls I think we've ever had.
Yeah,
because when he
their
started
first time talking about that, you know? They have not actually had an opportunity to talk to some black folks like, you know, man, there was a guy who had 20% of what we were looking for, but now I found you guys over here, and you all got the whole thing. So it's like they want to say that, man, I thought I had it, but now my eyes are opened. And we as black folks, we need to be more, especially those of you who've been with us for a while, understand we need to be patient with that, because I got earlier today talking about, he didn't understand why I was explaining why polygamy was wrong. And I'm like, well, you don't have as big of a following as I do, but I get new people every day. And that's why we have to keep recycling this. because Ebony understands the power of repetition. That's why they're handing out propaganda. Well, guess what? That's also the power of teaching. Teaching is where we keep reminding people and taking into account new people that are coming in every day, and we have to give a refresher on a lot of these things. But yes, I mean, this is the first time that a lot of these people have been able to speak about what they feel and what they've been feeling, because before now, brother, they had to tolerate dudes who gave them a watered-down thing or had ulterior motives. They had to tolerate it because they felt they had no other alternative. There isn't anybody who truly believes the true, pure thing, so I have to take the shyster over here because at least he's like a broken clock. At least he's right twice a day. They thought they had no other options, and now they see that they do. So you're right. We have to be patient about that.
And I enjoyed hearing how he showed his thought process. He heard the nonsense. And, you know, it's a matter of when you have your mind tuned to station C-O-O-N, then some of that stuff, you'll have taste for it. He said that he started listening to the Black Channel, started listening to Jason, and he started little by little, his mentality began to rise. His mentality began to elevate. And then he got to the point where he was like, you know what, I can't go back to that old stuff. I don't want people sitting here trying to feed my need for relationship dysfunction, or people trying to feed my need for sex talk or gossip. You know, it's easy to sit there and talk about chasing big booty girls at the club. Anybody can do that. It is hard to talk about whether or not our people will remain on this earth. It's easy to sit there and say, well, we all the same. It's hard to sit there and say, I am unique and my group is unique and we have a unique value in this world and that value should be preserved. That's hard to do. It's easy to swirl. It's hard to take a stand. So the brother who called in, he laid out beautifully how he sat there and went from ignorance to empowerment. And then the icing on the cake, he sat there and showed that he got his degree in Black empowerment. He said, right here live on air, I'm opening up the wallet. He sat there and said, you know what? This is not comfortable financially. This is not a comfortable thing. But I understand we're in a fight and I want to win it. Now, folks, last time that a group of people understood that we're in a fight that they had to win and that their wallets were going to win the fight, it was George Zimmerman and his army of keyboard Klansmen. That's the last time we saw that. But it's a brand new day. There's a new group of people who are opening up the wallets and understanding that in a world where money is what makes it go round, you better make sure you have a war chest. Why don't we have a black think tank? Why don't we have a bunch of black think tanks? At the end of the day, we don't support them. Think tanks come from the universities. Universities who make good, they understand that white power will only be supported by white people. So the white guys who got out of these schools and became industrialists, like the Mellons and the Carnegies and the Warburtons and the rest of them, what they did was they took that money, put it back into those schools, and established think tanks where they could have men whose only job would be to come up with all sorts of mind rot and all sorts of chicanery to hold us down. And it's worked. It has worked. Years ago, the documentary called Band of Gold. And what they did was they were examining a rare event that a lot of black people, especially Generation Xers, need to study. In the 1970s, CBS Columbia Records, they commissioned, I believe it was Harvard University, to do a study. They wanted to know where music trends were going to be for the following 30 years. Keep in mind, this was 1970. So they got this woman and her research assistant, and they did a study, and the results were predictable. They said in 30 years, every music act in America of any significance will either be black or a white performer trying to sound black. Now, what CBS Columbia Records did was they decided that they were not going to merely sit there and watch that. They decided that they were going to go ahead and sign up a bunch of music acts and then sit on them. You wouldn't get any airplay, no promotion. You might get played in a record store once or twice. A lot of black people of a certain age, Generation Xers and such, you wonder how your baby boomer parents who were so addicted to the music scene and thought that they were all going to become singers, whatever happened to a lot of them who said, oh, I had this deal or I thought I was going to do this, that, and the third, a lot of them who thought they were going to get signed up, it was because record companies were signing black acts up in mass quantities and then doing nothing with them. They thought that they were going to stymie us that way. Of course, we all know what really happened. Truth cut crushed to earth rises stronger than before. Hip-hop came about, and black music went underground, think much stronger than before. That is until the 90s when big money started buying it, buying up the acts, and then deranging the direction of the culture. That's another discussion. The point that I'm trying to make is white people understand the value of having a think tank. They understand the value of putting their intellectuals and their academics to the job of figuring out how to socially engineer the nation. They understand the value of it. Do you truly believe that the white people at CBS Columbia Records were talking about big booty girls? Do you think that they were talking about why they couldn't get a date on Friday night? No, they were talking about how to take the power from you. And they put their money and their creative muscle behind doing that, and it worked to a large degree. We don't have any discussion like that. We don't have that kind of TED-level class of discussion going on anywhere except for here. We are not concerned with whether or not you can get a date. We are not concerned with whether or not you're going to get signed on by Interscope Records or Time Warner. We are not concerned about what you saw on TV last night. And we are certainly not concerned with whatever petty relationship drama you're concerned with. Only thing the intelligent society is about is power, wealth, and influence. We talk about that all day, every day here. And we will continue to, because that's what's going to save us. It's the winning strategy. A lot of people sat there and thought, well, can't you just make it a little more fun to listen to? No, because black people love to laugh and kid and giggle. And that's the reason why we can't get serious about anything. Everything has to be entertaining to us. We are in a life and death struggle, and people still want to be entertained. Well, we ain't having it. And that last call was a brilliant example of the value of what it is that we do. Repetition is the mother of learning. You can use it to indoctrinate people with lies, propaganda, or you can do it to educate people with the truth. Intelligent black society is putting its money on the truth, and this is the side that's going to win, but only if we stick to our guns. The divining principle that brought us this far was the fact that as black people, we should accept no excuses from each other. Black power begins with you. Black empowerment begins with you. Black first begins with you. Getting serious about what we want begins with you. It doesn't begin with some mouthpiece. It doesn't begin with some so-called leader. It begins with you. Jason said it years ago, if you are within the sound of our voice, then you are the resistance. You want to know why it is Detroit doesn't have a supermarket yet? Because black people up there in Detroit are sitting around waiting for somebody else to do it. All these Negroes with their pockets turned out, waiting for somebody else, and somebody else will do it. Asians, Hispanics, white people, and the black people will be run out because them Asians and Hispanics and whites ain't looking to hire you. They understand that money is how you commit genocide without ever having a hand on somebody. Take away their means of being able to interact and compete for resources, and they will wither on the vine. You know, the gays have gone ahead and declared that we're not going away. Well, unless you have a black family with a man and a woman, I don't see how you're going to make it to the next generation. It's intelligent black society that's not going away. And we make more converts every day, so we're not changing the message. We're gaining headroom this way. We are making headway this way with black people who are talking about substantive things at the highest levels. This is what you need to have a taste for. Everything you watch, everything you hear, everything you do needs to be geared toward this principle. And you can also show your support for the documentary fundraising for the publicity campaign, because tonight is when we break through 80. Intelligent Black Society has made a statement on three separate occasions. The original goal was 10,000. That was shattered in the first 14 hours alone. The second goal was 50. That was shattered in only a couple of weeks. Then the goal went to 70. And now we're putting it at 80 because intelligent black society is a beast. Intelligent black society is a juggernaut. And the more we do, the more we're going to get done. So all the people who 5 years ago asked, what are you doing? They're seeing it now. And we're telling people, okay, put your money where your mouth is. and we have separated the wheat from the chaff, and this is good. And the people who thought that bidding on coonery and buffoonery was the way to go, nah, we're not dialing ourselves in for another generation of failure. We're dialing ourselves in for power. Because that's where it's at. Black people as the upper hand in the society, that's where it's at. An African value system, that's where it's at. We are not looking to make ourselves acceptable to the people who have a taste for the Amos and Andy syndrome. We're not looking to make ourselves acceptable to the bastard baby makers. We're calling right right and wrong wrong. A value system means you need to know what it is that's important to you, and it needs to be black and white. Because when you allow room for gray, what happens is you always go in the wrong direction. Notice how when there's room for gray, it never goes in the right direction. If you sit there and say, I'm starting exercise on a regular basis, but you sit there and say, well, I could do it 5 days a week, but maybe I'll do it three and I'll have a couple of cheat days. Notice how the cheat days usually go from 1 day a week to 3 days a week, and your exercise goes from 5 days a week to only 1 day a week. Notice how it always goes in the wrong direction. It never goes in the right direction. See, that's what happens when you make room for gray on everything. That's what happens. You go in the wrong direction. So no, intelligent black society is not going to try to figure out how to have a big tent. A circus has a big tent. And we've had three rings for the last 150 years. Well, the carnival is over. Yeah, it's going to become, there is going to be a genocide that takes place. It could either be a soft one or a hard one. But intelligent black society understands that those of us who, that the strong will prey on the weak. But the intelligent will prey on the strong. Now, before we go ahead and move on to anything else, I want to go ahead and give a pat on the back to the people who have made our latest goal that much more in reach. We've already gone ahead and exceeded 80. We're marching toward 85. Folks, let us make this the fundraising effort that puts black empowerment on the map. Let's make this thing a statement that the whole freaking world is going to look at and say, those mean little black people over at theblackchannel.net, this intelligent black society, ooh, we can't stand them. Yeah, you can't stand us, but you can't stop us either. Who are these people? We don't even know who the world they are. You're right, because power is something you cannot touch. It's something you cannot see, and yet it can hit you and it hurt you. That's the way that power works. Power is not flashy. It's not trying to put its name out there. Power is simply trying to magnify itself. And the fact that we didn't have to water down the message and don't have to coon, we're not being sorry for that. You let other people sit there and decide that they're going to talk to the beast of your lesser nature. We're elevating the debate here. And we do it very hard.
Go ahead and I'll take another phone call here. Want to probably wrap things up shortly here, but let me take another phone call. Caller from 951, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello?
Yes, you're Hello? On.
Oh, this is Confidence.
Okay.
This is Confidence from Riverside.
Yeah, take your phone off speaker, and you got Star Wars or Galactic Opera going on behind you. I need you to get to a quieter place. Try not to hang up your phone because you won't be able to call back in right now if you do.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Oh. I wanted to talk about, like, the Ebony magazines.
Okay.
The Ebony, basically what they were doing with that, I think it is called psychosemantics, where they're trying to replace what's normal, all this stuff like orange is the new black, gay is the new black. Is they're trying to co-opt the word black to mean what they want it to mean. And basically, that's like what Malcolm X was talking about. He says they use the word Negro for to displace Africans and make them give up their land and make them give up their standards. And even Stokely Carmichael, he said when the South Africans came, the white people came, they wouldn't even call the South Africans Africans. They called them by their tribes. So they'd all be fighting. They use that to make them, like, fight each other. Even they make them they make them like separated. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, what you're saying is that he had no respect for your ethnicity in any way. He called you nigger and everything else, but the only time he would show respect for your ethnicity was when it was time to talk about your tribes. And you notice they do the same thing with Arabs. You're Iraqi, you're Iranian, you're Kuwaiti. They do the exact same thing with them. This is the game that they have mastered over years. As black people, they have never, never, ever referred to us as Africans. But with white
exactly.
people, that's what they do. They refer to black people as Negro and African-American, but they do not call us African. White folk, an Irishman is Irish. An Italian is Italian. A Spanish is Spanish. A Spaniard is Spanish. Mexican, same thing. But with us, they never, with Orientals, they want to know, China, Korea, or Japan? Are you Japanese, Chinese, or Korean? They never reference we as black people as Africans. Hell, your mayor of Chicago, and we can go down the list. They refer to themselves Jewish when they really could refer to themselves as Israeli.
Yep.
But they never refer to the Africans in America as Africans. We're going to make sure we slap this African-American. They never refer to you as just African. Never. They make sure to never speak of you that way. Why? Because they understand that we have the ability to do something that no other group has. Every other group's culture has flocked to assimilate. Ours has been the most resistant. And they have been on a 2,000-year jihad, 500 most acutely, to try to break down that resistance, to break down our resistance to their culture. They want us to assimilate. And that is why they do not want us referring to ourselves as Africans, and they do not want you referring to them as Europeans.
Yeah.
Forget that Anglo's mess. Forget that Anglo's mess. They don't want you to refer to them as Europeans.
Well, I don't know. I think the best example of that is whenever they talk about Native Americans, they'll always call them Indian, because if you call them Native Americans, they'll bring in the native part, and it'll remind them of what the history. That's why I always use the word, like, American African. It puts, like, in the English language, the second word in a hyphenated phrase, that's the one that has emphasis on it. So I put the African as the second word because that's the root word that has emphasis on it. And, like, that puts it in a Pan-African perspective where you could put Nigerian African, Liberian African, and you see the emphasis on African, so the prefix would, like, come secondary. And you have to – it makes you think in your brain, like, what's making you different from African, which is a norm, which is a norm. And so basically I think that would help us, like, coalesce and, like, take stock of what our culture should be as we move forward.
Well, we as black people, we have to define ourselves as Africans, because you see, once you say that you are an African, then you start looking at Uganda's views on homosexuality differently. Oh,
yep.
Not supposed to say that, but I did. Let me say it again. When you refer to yourself as African, you start looking at Uganda's views on homosexuality differently. You start looking at the people who are championing all these homosexual bullying techniques on you, and then you start looking at people who look like you and come from the same place as you, and you start looking at your historic homeland, and then you start asking questions like, wait a minute, this homosexuality thing get kicked in when I met the guys from Europe. That was no wonder you don't want me referring to you as European. Because I will start making the differentiation between the cultures and the values. I will look at people where I am from. That's why they don't want you doing ancestry, brother. They have that, the first thing that they did was try to divorce us from our culture. European immigrants, they told them where they were from and never let them forget. Your WAPs, your Dagos, your Jew boys. I don't even like that kind of language, but they let them know what they were and never for the rest of their lives let them forget it. Your Krauts, Germans, your Irish. They let you know, and you went the rest of your life knowing that their problem was that you were Italian, Irish, whatever. With us, they told you didn't come from nowhere. On the plantations, they made sure, no, you take our name, you didn't come from Africa. Well, we may have picked you up there, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. And you see, since you won't do that, when you start looking at where you're from and look up your genealogy and say, wait a minute, this test and this genealogy says I'm Nigerian. It says I'm African. Then you start looking at Nigeria differently. You start looking at Nigeria as your home, not New York City. You go talk to that limp-wristed fellow from Ebony Magazine, ask him where our home as black people is. He's going to tell you right here. In other words, he's going to give you the same answer that the slave master gave Kunta Kinte. Now, if that doesn't let you know whose team he's on, if it's not any clearer for you, how can I make it more clear after he says that? He's going to give you the exact same answer that the slave owners did. Africa don't matter. Our home is right here in America. We're Americans. And that's why I'm insisting on an American Eurocentric value system. We don't subscribe to an African value system, because then you have to look at Ethiopia, Nigeria, Ghana, Chad, Zimbabwe, Uganda. You have to look at all those places differently when they start trying to force and foist gay marriage on you. You'll start looking at your people and saying, wait a minute, but this is not my people's value system. And then you start asking guys like Alexander Hardy and Ebony Magazine, who are you representing? Well, is Africa our home? Well, it's a spiritual homeland. Whoa. No. Spiritual me ass. That is our home. And you're saying that we need that somehow.